Shit. Pause. Pause, pause, pause. Sorry about that. My, I turn the TV off, and if my TiVo switches it to certain channels, the stereo comes back on and plays sound. So I had to shut the stereo off.
I should get any feedback from my end?
A little bit, yeah.
You should have just later on told me to write that time down.
Because
I could have just muted it.
Which time?
Well, like when the song came on and everything, we could have just ignored it, and I could have wrote the time down and muted you at that point.
But I was talking.
I could have muted you regardless. So it's okay. I would have filled it in with blah 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 blah. No one would have noticed.
All right, I'll come back.
All right.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 197.
Ooh, it's been a long time. I guess. I don't know. I haven't been here in like a month, so who knows?
My name is Christopher Riccio. That voice was Travis Baum.
Yo.
And Jeff is out this week. We just cannot get the normal three on a podcast anymore. So Jeff is not feeling well, so he's taking the day off. And sitting in his place is one of our writers that you've been seeing content from on the site recently, and that is Nathaniel. Nathan, what's up, man?
Not much, man. Just happy to be here and eat my fire wings.
Well, we need to get you on the show at one point or another. So I'm gonna continue to call you Nate because that's just easier for me.
I'm gonna call you fine. Nate Dog.
No,
because Nate Dog, the real Nate Dog, is dead, and we need a new one. So you are the new Nate Dog.
When people talk to me, they're like, "What can I call you?" And I'm like, "You can call me anything but Nate Dog. I get called Harry Potter because I look like Harry Potter, but don't." Nate Dog, I just don't.
From what I hear, you look like me a little bit. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, 8-Bit Travis. Yeah, I don't want to get called that, though. Don't call me 8-Bit, please.
All right, Nate Dog.
Yeah, at least make it 16-Bit Travis. Come on.
Or 64-Bit.
64-Bit.
Okay.
I don't know. 64-Bit was like that kind of blurry, foggy, crappy 3D. 16-Bit was like real good, nice sprite work.
Okay, I can take that.
Okay, cool. All right, so today we are talking about basically add-ons for consoles. We're going to talk about that a little later. Before that, we're going to do new releases. No, we're not. We're doing distractions and news, and then afterwards we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. But before that, Travis.
Yo.
How's it going, man?
I'm back.
This is the first time we've talked about you since Pound Vegas.
I know, since Pound Vegas. What does that mean, Pound Vegas?
That's what every tweet you sent said Pound Vegas.
Oh, Pound Vegas. Yeah, that, my friend, is called a hashtag.
I'm aware of that. I'm making fun of you, Travis, because everything had Pound Vegas on it.
I had a good time, dude. That was good shit. So it was a conference for work and everything. It was kind of like a little mini E3. I was in like just geek heaven. And it was just really fun, man. Got to see a lot of cool people. Like, I just didn't realize how big this event was, you know, and especially like pulling like celebrities and whatnot. Like, I mean, like we got to see, Jack Trenton. I call Jack Trenton a celebrity, if that's funny. And then like Will Arnett and, you know, Kevin Pereira from, Attack of the Show was there. Even Morgan Webb from X Play. Like they pull in so many big names. I don't know if I mentioned Kevin Butler, like he was there as well. Like so many big names. It was just really crazy that so many people gathered just for this event for our work. It was crazy, but it was a great event. But I absolutely loathe Las Vegas. Loathe it. It's too expensive. It's 108 degrees at night. I don't understand how it's possible. So like, and everything, I mean, it's just, everything's too expensive, man. It's like, it's too rough. But the good thing was I was hammered every single night, so I didn't mind too much, I guess. So yeah, so I mean, it wasn't too bad, but yeah, I've missed the last couple of weeks. I missed, of course, that week because I was at conference and everything. But I also missed the last couple of weeks because I haven't been feeling too good. I had a pilonomal cyst that just would not heal. Like, I mean, the doctors and everything were even worried that I had like a staph infection or something. Like, they were super, super worried. So they had me on like all kinds of different medications and pills. Like, I couldn't even walk, man. It was really, really rough. So it's just one of those Jason sicknesses. Like, I just could not move. I could not function, couldn't work, couldn't do anything. It was just bad.
I wouldn't call it as bad as that.
That wasn't a bad. Like, it was just like a pain.
It's even sadder that you have to like, you diagnose it as that. Like, it's not a sickness. It's Jason's sickness.
Yeah, were you feeling it? Yeah, it was a Jason sickness. That was pretty bad. So, but I'm back. I feel good. I don't enjoy these little sabbaticals that I've taken, because I think it was like a couple of months ago. I was like gone for 3 weeks too. I don't like it one bit, man. The podcast, it evens me out. Like, it's my zen place in the middle of a busy week. So I'm glad to be back. I missed. Well, I this is like the first time I've talked to Nate. So I guess I missed you too, Nate. So
well. I miss you too, Trav.
All right. Well, Nate, what's up, bro?
I don't know. Not much. School, work, and writing reviews pretty much. I just got finished playing Dead Island, and it was a blast to a certain extent. There were a lot of things that really upset me, but, I mean, there were a lot of things I enjoyed about it, too.
Well, we'll talk about that more in a minute.
Yeah. I was about to say, there's not, like, the excitement levels of my life are not too dynamic as yours. I'll say that.
My life's pretty boring. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it sounds pretty interesting.
I don't live this baller lifestyle. Trust me, that was just one weekend, and it was because of work. So
okay. Well, no, that's cool. Pretty much me.
Well, nothing going on new over here. I mean,
nothing, Papa Scoots? Like nothing,
dude. Wait, not really, man. I'm telling you, I'm just trying to get ready for IndusFest and shit like that. So, but IndusFest
is two
coming.
Episodes?
What's that?
Isn't it like two episodes and then we got IndusFest?
Well, there's this episode and then next episode and then the following one. So 3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Three weeks from today, we will be doing episode 200 at Jason's house.
Whoa.
So that's, you know, that's big news, man.
Shit's getting real.
Yeah. And then after that is Extra Life. So we're trying to figure that out too. Tomorrow, me and Jason are heading up to Battling Brew to discuss logistics with Greg, try and get some stuff out of the way, see if we can get a DJ in there. I know that 8-Bit Wonder, who DJed the first IndusFest, has shown interest in doing it again. He said that he had a great time and he wants to do it again. So there's that. We want to try and discuss like when we're going to start stuff, like advertising things and putting them up on their calendar and, you know, talking about like the tournaments themselves and telling people that, you know, they can come out for the tournaments.
Right.
So that's the kind of shit we're going to talk about. And then, you know, Extra Life. I mean, we've been doing it at Battle and the Brew the past couple years. So we would like to do it there again. So we just got to make sure that they're cool with that, you know, cause they end up having to stay open. Well, they don't actually stay open. They lock their doors during closed hours, but we're still there, for the entire 24 hours. So,
right.
That's kind of, that's the kind of shit that's been on my mind lately and trying to get Jack Bauer over here. Cause you know, that shit happened. Getting that taken care of, then getting, you know, the shop up and running, and now we've got some other like goodies that we're trying to work out for people that come to IndusFest and stuff like that. So it's been busy, but it's all, you know, it's all Indus related. It's all Indus business.
Indus business. It's getting real, son. Like, it's getting super
it is, dude.
Real.
Three weeks, and we're gonna have this is gonna be this IndusFest will have the most internationals coming.
Yeah.
So we've got the two from down under, the one from across the pond, and we've got our normal Canadian group that's coming down too. Yeah. So
normal
Canadian group. Yeah, man, we've got two or three Canadians that come down every year. Well, I mean, Jeff, obviously. And then, Crayman is a fan of the show and he comes down every year. He's been to the first two and he's coming to this one. So, it's exciting, man. I'm getting excited. But yeah, man, shit's getting close and, it's about done. You know, it's nice to know that things are being taken care of. Cause, last year it was like down to the wire. Year before that, down to the wire. This year seems like we've gotten things kind of handled, taken care of. So, you know, hopefully it's going to be a little bit more lax.
Yeah. It definitely is this year. Cause I can definitely say that like there's not as many people confirmed this year as previous years. So it's definitely going to be more of not a quieter affair. Cause I think we got a pretty raunchy bunch coming up to join
us.
There's
more locals this year too.
There's more
people coming locally this year,
which is cool, which is really cool too. So that being said, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to party.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I'm also ready to talk about some games. Yep. So let's do that real quick. Nate, you're kind of the guest. This is the first time on the show, so you start. What are you playing this week? What's distracting you?
Dead Island, pretty much. Like, I've really been confused about this game. It is pretty awesome. Like, to one end, you have, like, this hybrid game. It has, like, Dead Space meets Dead Rising meets Borderlands.
Borderlands.
And it's just, it actually comes together quite well. But at the same time, the setting, I don't know if the design really matches the gameplay, if you know what I'm saying. And so, I mean, I've been playing that a ton, and then Minecraft update 1.8 just came out, so I actually got back into that.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
I gotta get back into that MC, man. That game is like crack.
I was laughing my butt off when Notch decided to actually make an adventure update once he realized, oh, hey, Terraria is actually making content for this style of game.
Yeah.
And suddenly he wants to make a game. He wants to make his game more appealing. So, I don't know. It looks like it's definitely turning out to be something better than I thought it was going to be. Like, he adds minor visual details. I guess you could see the difference between Alpha and the final version coming out right now. And so, that's pretty much what's been distracting me. I'm actually thinking about getting Gears of War 3.
Okay.
But, I don't know. Other than that, that's pretty much it.
Gears of War 3, I think that's kind of a must-have, man. Like, the reviews of the embargo lifted today, actually. And it's getting nines and tens, man. Yeah. It's nines and
seeing
tens
lots
everywhere.
Of nines.
Well, I've always liked Epic a ton. Like, they've always released pretty decent games. And even when they take themselves too seriously, like, I still enjoy them.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been a fan of the company.
Well, I'm telling you what, man. The game itself. Gears of War has been a trendsetter from the start. I mean, you know, they started the trend of the cover-based shooter. You know, they really, you know, they didn't start the trend of the big hulking space marine type, you know, badass guy, but they really made it popular this generation. And, you know, Horde mode. Now, everybody has Horde mode, and they introduced that, you know. So, you know, they actually brought the spotlight on Horde mode. I'm sure, pretty sure someone else, you know, another game had done that before. But, you know, they made it popular. You know, they kind of blazed the trail for everyone. And, you know, it's kind of what, you know, whatever Epic does, everybody tends to follow suit and everything. And that doesn't even count the Unreal Engine, you know, because that's just something that everybody uses now. So, you know,
speaking of Unreal Engine, oh my God. And I know I've already like geeked out on the emails about this, but freaking Infinity Blade, that game's been out for a minute, but I finally got access to it on my iPod, and that freaking game is amazing. I cannot put that crap down. Like, I'm supposed to be reading for class. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to play Infinity Blade. And then I end up playing it for 3 hours straight and do nothing else.
Yeah, that's that, like, joint where you keep on, like, dying and your kin, well, like, your next of kin or something like that, or you're like, your children, like, go back through it and you have to do it, keep on going and dying until, like, one of your children eventually make it up to, like, killing the last boss or something like that, or
yeah, but it even perpetuates after that. But it's not the storyline so much as the gameplay as well. Like, you just feel like a freaking badass. Like, you know, when you play Demon Souls, you feel like this hefty knight with this big ass shield and this big ass sword, and you're just kicking ass. Like, that's what you feel.
I've
like
never felt like that in Demon Souls. I don't know what game you're playing.
More like big ass knight, big ass armor, big ass sword, getting your ass kicked.
Well, I mean, like, when you know what you're doing in Demon Souls, and you're fighting. I'm sorry. Anyways. So, Infinity Blade, you feel like you're kicking ass the entire time. And even when you get to the God King, like, at the end of the game, like, I was sitting there in my mom's apartment, dog sitting, and I freaking, like, was screaming at the top of my lungs how awesome this game was, because just everything came together in that part, and you just, you feel like you have so much on the line fighting this final boss. He's, like, killing off your grandpa, your great-great-great-grandpa, and here you are. Everything lingers on that moment to kill this guy. And when you do it, it's so satisfying. But it's like a point and click adventure / Punch Out. Like, you never would expect a game like that, and it somehow works.
You're speaking my language, because I felt the only thing that King's Quest VI ever missed to be a perfect game was King fucking Hippo, and like, I am like super psyched about this game. I need an iPod.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, and you could even play against me, and I think that's what is also awesome about it. Like, I've always had an issue with games like World of Warcraft and stuff like that, where, you know, it's all the time you put into it, and it's all the loot you get, like your equipment and all that stuff.
Right.
It actually, when you do multiplayer, it breaks it down into, like, the bare basics. Like, you're you all are on the same playing field, and it just completely relies on player skill. And so I'm like, if you get it, man, I'll totally play against you all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to try to work on an iPhone first.
Oh, you don't have an iPhone. Okay.
Yep. What else you been playing, man?
Me?
Yeah.
Other than that, I've been playing Dead Island and Minecraft. That's it.
Well, cool. Travis, you said you've been playing Dead Island, right?
A lot of it.
Okay, we haven't talked about it much on the show, so let's talk about Dead Island a little bit.
Let's wrap. Why not?
So we played that a little bit on Industream, or we attempted to. So hopefully you guys are having better luck with than we did, because we tried to play multiplayer. We probably tried to play co-op on the PS3, and it did not work at all.
It's definitely – that's one of the issues with the game, is how buggy and inconsistent it can be at times.
Really?
So you're on Steam, right?
Yeah.
And you're having like bug issues on there too?
Well, it's really weird. That's the thing about PC gaming, and I feel like I can't give an accurate portrayal in comparison to consoles. But like initially, yeah, me and my friend would try to play, and he wouldn't show up at all. We couldn't invite the game or anything, but now we can. So I don't know if an update fixed that. But
probably.
The only thing I noticed is they really just want you to join random people, is what I get the vibe from, because you'll be running around, and it'll be like, oh, so-and-so is in this area. Press something to join them.
Right.
But no,
which is like, cool. I think that's a really cool feature. You know, it's like if there's two people, it's almost, it kind of reminds me of Demon's Souls in the way that there's stuff happening. It's like you have like a connection to everybody, like other people that are playing the game. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this person is on the same mission, same chapter as you. Do you want to join them? And I think that's pretty cool, as long as you can get it to work. And I mean, we didn't try that feature, but you know, we didn't have much luck with the online.
Yeah, I actually, with the online on the 360 version, I'm having no problems whatsoever. Like, I haven't played with anybody that I know yet, but playing against randoms when it does pop up saying, you know, press left to join their game, I haven't had any glaring issues and everything. And I was listening to you and Jeff talk a little bit about it, like how the multiplayer works and everything when Asus was talking about it last week. But I gotta say, I kind of like the way the mission structure is. Because when you join a game and everything, it talks about the missions that are available based on what the other person has as well. And when you press select, looking at your missions, it actually tells you what quest they're on as well. And I like that, because it's like, well, I can go ahead and do this quest with you. And if you're talking over the headset with somebody, it's like, okay, well, we'll do your quest, but next we'll do one of my quests. And you just know what quest to be on at the same time. So your GPS matches up on the multiplayer. So it's really cool there. I do enjoy that.
On the like quest log, and it shows a little indicator of who has what enabled.
Yeah, it shows their character's face and everything. It shows what they have set up and everything. Yeah.
When I played online, I thought it was all right. Yeah, there's definitely no PvP, so I don't know how that is for certain people. But
and I'm glad there's not any. Maybe like a little arena thing would be fun, but I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm glad. Like one of the things that really really bother me about Left 4 Dead is that like there is friendly fire. Albeit like the friendly fire doesn't really damage you that much. It's just kind of a pain in the ass to hear the same thing. Like hear the character say, "Ow, stop shooting me!" over and over and over again, because it's impossible.
Well, I mean, if you play on expert, it definitely has a negative effect.
Yeah, exactly. And I just can't stand it. The game's too fast and too twitchy to have any type of
friendly fire. So many enemies running in between your players, and like you just try to shoot at that enemy, and then you pop the guy in the head, and he drops down, and you're like, shit!
Yeah, and one of the things that I do really, really enjoy about Dead Island is that they don't throw like 30 zombies in your face all at once. I love that to death. I love that you only get – because these guys are dangerous, man. These guys will, like, three or four of them will tear your shit up at the same time.
I had a mixed feeling about it because, like, I thought Dead Rising didn't make much sense for having 30,000 zombies on one screen. I'm like, where are all these zombies coming from? I'm pretty sure not that many people are at that mall all the time. So, I mean, like, I appreciated
that.
What,
you don't go
to
a mall and there's 50,000 people there?
Yeah, but I mean, like, after a while, you start killing them all off. They're going
to go to Mall of Georgia once. You'll see a lot of people.
Well, anyway, so then when you get to Dead Island, there's points where you're walking down the street and you don't see a zombie.
I love that. It's that like tension, because I find myself looking around corners like okay, no, nothing's here. Like, but they'll come at you. Like, you don't even see them and they'll find you. Like, I love that.
Yeah, I think that the I think it builds up suspense when there's not as many. Because you know, it's like it's almost like let's see, what was the movie that came out? Showgirls. It's like, hey, look, boobs. All right, I'm done with the boobs now. It's kind of the same thing. It's like, hey, look, lots of zombies. That's really cool. And then it kind of wears out on you. If there's less, it's like more suspense. And it's, you know, when you finally see one, you're like, all right. And then, you know, I very much enjoyed like how the combat worked. So it made me, you know, more interested in actually fighting them. And then, but the way that the combat works doesn't really support a large number of zombies.
Exactly.
Because it's a lot of it is more melee based. I mean, you've got four characters total. And I mean, I know that one is for, I know at least one is guns, but I know two are completely melee. I don't remember what the other one was, but
the other one is just like an average Joe.
Could do anything. Okay. So it's a lot more melee based and it's got situations where your weapons break. So, you know, it doesn't really, it's not the type of game that supports the large mass of zombies as well.
Well, yeah. I don't have an issue with the like smaller amounts of zombies. Like I'm saying, Dead Rising had too much. But I'm still trying to muscle through whether this game had just the right amount or it was just a little too, like, lacking.
I got you. Amount.
I mean, like, I'm not against it, definitely. Like, I really appreciate something that's tastefully, like, you know, has its content. Like, there's so many zombies, but I just can't. I don't know. I guess I'm just still trying to figure it out in my head.
Yeah. I do like how they do tend to take themselves a little more seriously because I thought they were going to be a little more wild. Like, aside from them, I think the most like wacky thing in the game are the protagonists themselves because every single person is a stereotype of that person's race.
Oh my God. Yes.
Really, really bad. Like, I'm talking like
it's
when you're
disgusting.
when you're picking your character and like when you pick, like I picked the football player. Okay. And the football player, he's just like deep rooted white trash. Mm-hmm. And then like you go to the rapper and of course
and he's like,
just,
I'm from Nowlands.
He's just as gangster as you can be. And heaven forbid you speak, you pick and listen to the audio from like the Asian girl. I mean, it's all just like stereotypical. It's embarrassing. But then the rest of the game's not really like that. Everybody else seems kind of normal.
How did you feel about the cutscene? Like, I'm still trying to figure out because the game automatically sets you on co-op, and I know it's heavily based around multiplayer, and it makes it painfully obvious even through single player because the guys refer to you, like the NPCs refer to you as a group.
Plural. Yeah, exactly.
And it's just really confusing. Like, why wouldn't they try to distinguish between that? And to me, it doesn't feel like they're trying to force you into multiplayer as much as they really didn't have the time to develop that aspect. And that's what I was going to say in my review, but I omitted it, was the whole fact that they released a development version on Steam by accident. Like, these guys, they obviously had, like, this pressure to get this stuff out like that. And I don't get why they couldn't have taken the time to accommodate just that slight little like maybe word changes and implications like cutscenes. You could have easily omitted characters and stuff like that because they obviously didn't put much into the cutscenes from what you've seen. Have you beaten it yet?
No, not yet. But okay. That's inherently the problem with the game. It's you know, it's the little things, you know. I mean, overall, when you look at the big picture of that is Dead Island, the game is good.
Yes.
You know, it's a good game. It is fun. I want to keep on playing it. You know, when I'm not playing it, I'm thinking about it. So it is a good game. But when you really break it down to the, you know, the meat and potatoes of how it's programmed and how it's developed and everything, there's a lot of small stuff in there that prove the fact that this isn't a very unpolished game. Mm-hmm. I mean, the texture pop-in, which you guys touched on last week, is just bad.
You know, I didn't notice that on PC so
it
much.
It is really, really bad on the 360. And, I mean, just I have audio that cuts out all the time.
I don't see it being as bad on the PC. I think the PC can probably handle it a lot better than one of the consoles can.
What's hilarious about it, though, is there's its own graphical glitches. Like, I was sitting, walking through the city, and I look over, and I don't even know how this could ever happen. Like, graffiti's just like a texture on a wall, right? And I will turn a corner and the graffiti's hovering a foot away from the wall, just in midair. I'm like, how does that even happen?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. And like, the only thing is in their argument, the level design in that game. Like, That's what I appreciated about the Assassin's Creed series past one, was the fact that they actually, like, made the setting seem very diverse. Like, they actually put time into making it seem real instead of, like, replicating the same area over and over and over again.
Right. Right.
And so, I mean, like, if they miss a graffiti, a piece of graffiti sticking 1 foot off the wall, I can kind of excuse it considering all the, like, other visuals that they have in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it from what I played, and that's kind of why I wanted to touch on it, because, I mean, I know that Aces talked about it last week, but I hadn't even looked at the game until then, so I wanted to chat about it a little bit now that I've seen it, and I wanted to get some more, now that I understand what's going on, I wanted to talk about it a little bit more, so very cool. Travis.
Yo.
What else you playing?
I got a lot of stuff, dude.
Okay, well, we can't be here for all night, so touch on some of the shit that you got.
Okay, we talked about Dead Island and everything. Let me talk about what I've been playing mainly this week and everything, because I do want to touch on some games that I was playing over at our conference and everything.
You're not going to get fired for talking about those, are you?
No, because I don't know where I'm working at, right? Have I talked about it? Yeah, anyway, we're going to be good. All right, Resistance 3. Big PS exclusive and everything. Resistance 1 was like a launch title, right? That was a pretty good,
pretty close,
pretty
yeah.
good game. It was not bad, not a bad little first-person shooter. Resistance 2 made a lot of people iffy on the series, me included. I was not digging on Resistance 2. I don't think Jeff liked it as well. I mean,
he was not a fan.
It was just not up the snuff, man.
It
was
sounded really good on paper, yeah. But it just did not get executed the way that many hoped it would.
Well, Resistance 3. Oh, okay. I said this about this. What I'm about to say about Resistance 3, I said about Crysis. In terms of graphics, storyline, just sheer gameplay, Resistance 3 is by far, easily the best first-person shooter I have played this generation.
Really?
Hands down. It's absolutely fantastic. Okay, well, Resistance 3, like, first of all, let's start off with the presentation-wise and everything in terms of the storyline. The storyline is great. Like, it's easy to follow. It's not convoluted. It's, we have a problem. We need to solve it. Let's take care of it. And there's great character development and great characters within this story. You just want to keep on playing. You actually have, because I never felt like I was... I needed to know what was going to happen to Nathan Hale, you know, the protagonist from the first two Resistance games. Like, I never felt drawn to him and everything. And then, you know, Joseph Capelli, who was just kind of a side character and really an asshole, and you didn't like him at all in Resistance 2, all right? And especially at the end of it and everything, you just don't like Capelli whatsoever. But at the end of Resistance 3, I got to tell you, Joseph Capelli is one of my favorite characters ever. So they do some really good stuff. Like, I guess, you know, Insomniac really just learned how to tell a good fucking story for once, because it is a great, great game in terms of the presentation. Now, graphically, this game right here, man, like, one of my most favorite first-person shooters is Metro 23, because just the way the game looks, the way the game makes you feel when, like, you're in the underground areas, and you're just in these claustrophobic subway areas, and there's people and children, and, like, the particle effects in the light, it just looks like real dirty, dank air and everything. It feels
very
like
immersive.
You're... Exactly. It's even better in Resistance 3. Like, I don't understand... Like, this is one of those games where you watch it and it's like, wow, now this is what a first-person shooter this generation should look like. This is the bar. You know, this is what every game should strive for. One of the first levels, you're in this town. I don't remember where it's at. It's like Oklahoma or something like that. But it's just, you know, you live underground, but, you know, you're getting attacked. So you go above ground and you're fighting everyone. But there's a sandstorm. So amidst of great, like, particle effects and from explosions and smoke and everything like that, you also have, like, the sandstorm. And all these particle effects are mixing up. And then, you know, everything is original. I was looking at some dev notes and everything. And every single thing that is made is handmade, very similar to Deus Ex, to where they didn't reuse any assets. Yeah, they didn't reuse any assets or anything like that. Everything is really just, you know, original, and that you can really tell that when you play Deus Ex. The same thing goes for Resistance. They didn't reuse hardly any assets. Every single level is handmade from scratch. I mean, and you can tell. So that put together with the particle effects and just, you know, the lighting and everything is really fantastic as well. All that put together, I mean, I was blown away by the first level. And it just got better and better and better. I mean, they really know how to, like, really set yourself into these really, really good-looking, gorgeous, big levels. And I was even more impressed in the fact that, okay, you know, this is – it's a first-person shooter. It's a linear game. Every first-person shooter pretty much is, you know. You can't tell in this game. The level design is top-notch. Like, it's really, 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 really good. Like, there's some levels, like, it's a very urban level where you're going in and out of a lot of buildings and everything. And you're on a set path. You cannot deviate from this path. But the level design is so good. Like, you're doing these twists and turns going up and down. And then you may have this little wide open area. You do a quick battle and you move on from there. But you never feel like you're on a set path once.
Do you feel like this is a COD killer almost?
No,
just a crisis,
I mean,
because you said it was like the best FPS for this generation.
Single player experience, I think, is what he's saying.
In terms of the single player experience, yeah, I mean, it is just a top notch game and everything. And I got to tell you, man, like Call of Duty's fun, but and it is a competent shooter, but it's very Twitch and arcadey as well.
Yeah.
There's nothing sim about Call of Duty. Nothing sim about this as well, but like, you know, when you're playing Crysis 2, when you're feeling those controls, it just feels polished. Like that you feel the weight of the gun in your hand, you know? And the same deal goes with Resistance as well. I mean, there's a weight in every gun. Like every gun feels different. And on top of that, let me talk about those guns, man, because like, you know, this is one of the reasons why I love like the Ratchet and Clank games, because there's so much to do with those weapons. Like you can just experiment and have fun all day. They have some of the best weapons in any first-person shooter I've ever played, man. Like it, they have some really, really cool stuff in this game, and you just want to experiment. You just want to have fun and experiment and mess with these weapons because they're all a blast.
I expect that from Insomniac with the amount that they put into. Even Resistance 1 had great weapons, but with the shit that they come up with for Ratchet and Clank, I do expect that from them. So that's good.
The time that people waited for this game just paid off in spades because, I mean, I had no problems with this game. Like, I had no issue. And there's a lot of stuff happening on the ground. And there's an issue where, you know, you have two different forces of enemies at the same time fighting this humongous boss all the while you're running around doing your thing too. And there's zero slowdown. Like, cool. Insomniac knows how to work the PlayStation 3 to its fullest potential and not have any hitches in gameplay. It is a fantastic title. I don't say this very much, but it is a $60 title. Like, I don't know, how long has it been out? 2 weeks? Buy it. Just drop your money on it. It is a fantastic game, man. It really is good. I was super surprised because my expectations were low, even, you know, for Resistance 2.
Many people's were.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's just way better. I didn't think about anything until I beat that game. And it's not a short game. I think it was like 9 hours, 8 or 9 hours. So it's not a short game, you know. So I enjoyed the shit out of it. So it was good stuff.
Very cool.
All right. So there's a couple of games from conference that I want to talk about. First things first, we got to talk Skyrim because this is the big one, right? Like Skyrim's like the game to get this year, I guess.
All right, so there's one thing I want to know before you even start.
Drop it.
How does this feel compared to Oblivion?
It feels exactly like Oblivion in terms of gameplay.
Then I am probably not going to buy it.
Why not?
Because really?
it also feels exactly like Fallout, except there's no guns.
See, I'm not a Fallout fan, so.
See, I loved Fallout. But the reason I loved Fallout was because the combat was unique with the VAT system.
Right.
And Skyrim doesn't have that, does it?
No.
Okay.
Wait, you like the VATs?
Like, I loved VATs.
Was it the whole, like, strategic aiming and all that, or what?
I am not a big fan of first-person shooters, so VATs was for me.
Oh, okay. So you would prefer it if Skyrim were reverted back to, like, you know, timed or turn-based strat or RPG kind of gameplay?
Not necessarily, but if they made the combat similar to so the big thing about, you know, Fallout is, sure, you could use VATs, but, you know, it used energy and you had to gain it back, but you could still attack while you were gaining energy back, it just turned into a first person shooter. So yeah. It's not like I never ever used the first person shooter mechanics in Fallout, but I don't know why, I really don't, but when it came to Oblivion, I just could not get into that game. I just couldn't. I don't know why. I really
That's kind of sad, though. They're dragons.
Well, I know that, but it's dragons are not going to get me through this game, Travis.
Hey, Chris, you may not like the gameplay, but there's dragons.
Hey, that works for me sometimes.
So, okay, let me get into it and everything like that. Yes, it is. It does play a lot like Oblivion. Okay, that's just the core of it. I don't think it's a problem. I think the majority of the people will not have an issue with that because, I mean, I personally love the gameplay of it. Massive improvements. First of all, of course, graphically, the game is. Eons past Oblivion, and I think Oblivion still looks okay. I mean, like, you know, character models aside, I think the
world. I was going to say, let's talk about that.
I think the world of Cyrodiil looks great, but the world of Skyrim just like demolishes every single thing that they could have done. It's just really gorgeous looking. But anyway. Some levels that I played and everything, they started us out with some preset characters and everything, but I may or may not have flashed my Indus business cards, and they may have or may or may not let me create my own character. The create a character.
The creative. Are you serious?
I swear to God. Because
we fucking have pull. Come on now.
Yeah. I they let me sit down and create a character and everything. They gave me a little extra time to do that. Because they were only giving people like 10, 15 minutes, but they're like, you can go ahead and do some extra time, make your character if you want to. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm making my character, and I swear to God, dude, I could spend 2 hours doing that.
Oh, is it just like Oblivion, though? Or what did they add?
I don't remember all what you can do because I only spent 15 minutes making my character in Oblivion.
But was it all based on face design or was it?
It's a lot of face design. I mean, you could add dirt, like how much dirt you want on your face. You know, like it's that you know, in depth and everything. And of course, Every character model looks great, and there's different heads and like 30 different heads for each race. Just really, really good stuff in that character creation, man. And so anyway, that's that. But, you know, when you jump into the game, that's like the meat of what I want to talk about. Cause like the first thing that I noticed when, one of the PR guys was showing me around, was of course a leveling up system. You know, it's more MMO like, cause they're all based off of skill trees and everything, which is great because the skill trees are nothing but perks. So when you level up, you can do perks. So there's more like Fallout perks there. So there are some things that are like, that kind of like, you know, say, well, this worked in Fallout, so let's use this for Skyrim. And, I think that's going to be really enjoyable and a really good way to make each character unique. So like later on, you know, in the coming months, when we're talking about, you know, Skyrim, we're going to have these different stories about how we're developing our characters. And I think it's going to be really interesting when we get to that point. Leveling up, which I love about this game, they broke off of the old Oblivion model and went to the old school like Daggerfall and Morrowind model to where you don't level up, you know, unless you're using that specific skill. Because like in the beginning of Skyrim, you can say, I am a mage, I'm a mage. So you basically start off with like extra, you know, intelligence and wisdom and stuff like that. In this game, when you create your character, you don't even, you know, pick a class at all. You don't even pick a class. You find what you want to use, and you buy a weapon you want to use, and you make yourself proficient in that weapon. And your class is pretty much developed for you. So like you kind of go in the direction you want for your character. You're making your own character. They said that no two characters will ever, ever be the same. You can play the game 1,000 times, you're gonna have 1,000 different characters, and it'll never, ever be the same. So it's really interesting what they have there. And one of the new things that they really added into the game, which I really, really enjoy, is the fact that, you know, in the last games, you can have, like, you know, a shield in one hand or a sword in the other, or you can just do a double-handed weapon or a bow and arrow and stuff like that. But in this game, they're actually introducing, you know, dual wielding. You can dual wield two swords, a sword and a dagger, a mace and a dagger. You can do two fucking shields in your hand if you want. You can do a spell in one hand. You can do a sword in one hand. You can do two spells at once. So when you hit both triggers, you can do like a double spell, like where it makes like an even stronger effect to what you want to cast. Like so many different things there. But my question to the guy was, there's so many options now with what you can have in your hand. what is the deal with, you know, it just seems like going in and out of the menus is going to be super, super clunky. And they said they thought of that day one when they said there's dual wielding. They wanted a way to easily get in and out of it. So what you have to do basically is go into your menu, go into your equipment. And what you can do, you have a list of things. So you can pick, like, okay, I want to go shield and I want to go sword. But you also have the option of, like, four different things on each side of the screen. So you have basically what you do, you pick four things on the left. Like, I want to do a sword here, a dagger, and a fire spell, and a restoration spell. And on the right-hand side, you can do, I want a shield, a mace, a lightning spell, and an ice spell. All right. So when you go back into game, you hit the direction pad left, and it goes back to those left side of those favorites that you saved on the left, and you can just go left, up, down, up, down, up, down, and pick what you want really, really fast, and then hit right, up, down, up, down, and it's like a quick button to see all the weapons that you had made one of your favorites. So you're quickly going so even if you like wanted to heal yourself, but you're doing double swords, you can quickly like back up from your opponent and quickly go to your favorites. Without even hitting the menus and pick your restoration spell, heal, and jump back into it back with your double swords, all in like the span of like 2 seconds. It's amazing how they really, really like, you know, made it easy to get into your weapons and change everything. So you're not judged by a class. You can kind of do anything you want. And I love that ability because that was one of the things I was really missing from Oblivion, because I felt that I was good at sneaking and archery, and that was it. But now you can be good at everything in the gameplay itself. The user interface really allows it to make you more proficient in more things, and I love that about this game.
I was going to ask, though, about the dual handing thing. Did it feel that it was inconsistent? Like, there was no, like, repercussions for casting a spell and then trying to swing your sword? Did the left hand feel independent from the right, or was the character actually like still together where if you cast a spell you couldn't swing your sword, that kind of thing?
Oh yeah, when you cast your sword you're locked in that animation.
Okay.
You can't cancel it. No, but I mean, you literally lift your hand in the air for a second and you drop it, and then the spell kind of engulfs you. And after this, when the spells are engulfing you, once you throw fire, if you throw like across the screen and you're throwing a fireball, you can hit your favorites and jump back to your sword before that fireball even hits another person.
Okay.
Like, it's really, really quick.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. And the AI is really good. Like, they have animals that won't really attack you. Like, there's some beasts that are kind of territorial. So, like, if you kind of walk in the vicinity of its camp, like, there's this huge giant. And the guy was from Bethesda was like, walk toward the giant. I'm like, all right. You know, because everything just kind of attacked you in Oblivion, right? Everything just came for you. Whether it's a human, whether it's a wolf, everything just came for
you. Well, I mean, you had passive creatures and you had aggressive. You didn't have neutral.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, we went to I walked toward the camp of this huge giant, and he was not happy. So he started, like, he took a couple of steps toward me and started huffing and puffing and, like, you know, swinging his club and going, rah, rah, get the fuck away from me. So I stood back, and he's like, go back again. And I went back again, and he started getting more and more pissed, and I backed off. He said, go back again. And I went back again, and then he had enough, and he came at me. So, like, there's, like, a tolerance. Like, there's almost, like, some sort of intelligence to where, like, okay, you know, fool me once, fool me twice. I'll back off a little bit, but you keep on pissing this person off, they will come for you. So it's really cool to have that there, that, you know, you're not automatically locked into a battle if you just walk across something. Now, of course,
yeah,
some things will.
I always hated that about Oblivion. Like, you didn't have the chance
everything.
To, like...
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have a chance to look at him and be like, hey, man, I'm sorry. Like, just let me fix what I did wrong. Like, it was like, you're fucked up. Now you can't go back. And that's really cool.
Right. I played a little bit of Batman as well. I played as Catwoman.
You can play as Catwoman.
Yes, you play as Catwoman. It is a whole nother game.
Is it single player or multiplayer with Catwoman?
It's single player.
Okay.
It is a whole nother game.
That would be cool, though. Like,
that would be pretty cool.
Catwoman and
that would
Batman.
Be pretty cool.
What I saw was the Joker-Batman co-op thing. Was that just a teaser or what was that?
That was actually fake.
Oh, okay.
That was fake. Yeah, that was doctored. I gotta say, man, Batman is fucking awesome, dude. They made it even better. Like, there's so many more different combos, so many more different ways that you can, like, you know, and I find it easier. I think it's a lot easier to build up combos to earn more experience a lot faster and everything. I just found the game a lot easier than the last version because sometimes I struggled, like, trying to build my combo up. not much of a problem. Maybe it's because I was playing with Catwoman. It was kind of easy mode with her. I don't know. It could be just me, but like her dodges are super fast, so it's easy to get out of the way. But so many tools at your disposal, man. There's like more double moves where you can knock two guys out at the same time. There's more grapples where you can take someone to the ground, break their arm, and get right back up and take someone else out. I mean, it is like super quick, super fast. I cannot wait for this game, man. And I'll be honest with you. I think it's between Batman and Skyrim for Game of the Year this year. I don't know what's going to beat those two games. I'm a Assassin's Creed fool. I'm a nut for Uncharted. I don't know what's going to top Batman or Skyrim.
Well, like those games are awesome. I can't see it being bad ever.
Yeah. I got to play the PS Vita. That was quite an experience. I played Little Big Planet. Really, really fun, and to do some really cool things with the touchpad. Do a lot of stuff with touch. I'm not a huge fan of touch stuff, but there was a cool little puzzle that they did with that incorporated a lot of the touch with the front and the back pad on one puzzle at the same time. Basically, you had Sackboy and you had this wall, but the wall kind of like a Tetris wall. You know, it had like the different shapes and everything like that. So what happens is the wall goes up and there's no stairs or anything like that. So basically, what you're doing using this Tetris wall and you got to make your own stairs. So you actually use the back touchpad to push out the blocks towards you, like towards you, the player, and you step up on it and then you push to more blocks. So you're making your own, you know, you're making your own platforms to go in and out. Now, if you mess up, since you can't really see where you're touching and everything, if you mess up, you can push the other side, like the front screen, and push that block back into the wall. You know, so you're going in and out of the wall and everything like that. And it's kind of cool that it works that way. It is kind of, As an old school gamer, it feels kind of clumsy, like trying to like go back and forth. Cause I don't know, I have smaller hands, so like I have to like kind of reach around to the back and then use my thumb for the front screen. So I think it's something you can get used to, and it's cool tech. But in the end, I would kind of rather just play the fucking game. That's just me. That's just me though. Diablo 3. Very, very cool game. I actually waited in line for that. That's a pretty solid game. Dark Souls, I died a lot, but it was fun. I loved it. They had it playable on the 360 there. That is not the way to play the game. If you've never played Demon Souls before, fine. You may like it on the 360, but I got to tell you, if you play Demon Souls a lot using that DualShock controller, going to the Xbox 360 controller is not going to work.
It just does not
feel right. I think it makes the game hard. It just does not feel good. Like, trust me on this. Get it on the PlayStation if you can.
I was
like,
going to get it on the PlayStation, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
do that.
Weird. What's the big difference? I guess that's my big question.
I'm just not used to it. I play Demon's Souls on the DualShock, and it feels right. Like, the game, the way the buttons are, like, because the button layout is exactly the same. Like, don't get it twisted. This is Demon's Souls. It's Demon's Souls. There's nothing different about it.
Right.
It's the exact same game.
Well, where do they place the left and right hands? Is it on the bumpers or is it on the actual triggers?
It's exactly how it was on the PlayStation. I haven't played a Demon, so I can't really visualize it in my mind and speak on it. Okay. But just take those buttons and move them over to the Xbox 360 controller. It just doesn't feel right. It's a use thing. Like, I'm not used to it very much, you know, so... And play a little Dragon's Dogma as well. Now, my game of the show, though... were none of those games that I mentioned. And I wish Jeff was here. I'm actually kind of sad Jeff was not here. My game of the show, the best game I played, I actually went back and played it twice. It was so goddamn good. Darkness 2.
Really?
Darkness 2 blew my fucking face out of the water. Dude.
Why is that?
It is amazing. Like, I mean, you know, Darkness 1 had issues. It was an early game. It was a very, very early this generation game. But that game blew my socks off. Again, those guys do a terrific job with, like, immersion, making you feel like you're a part of this world. But then the mass destruction, you have, like the darkness itself, the creatures, they are just more powerful. They're straight up more powerful. You have more of an ability to have control over the type of damage they can do. Like, now you can use the darkness to pick up like a pole and like throw it across the screen and hit a guy and impale him on a wall. Like, there's different type of kills. Like, if you sneak up behind somebody, there's like four different ways you can kill them. So there's just more variety in your kills. And all the while you're controlling them, you're still easily controlling your guns. So you're shooting and impaling guys all at the same time. And it's fantastic. the graphical style is wonderful too, because at first hand, I'm like, oh, I love the cell shading because it makes it look more like a comic book where, you know, where darkness came from. It's a comic. It's a Top Cow comic book. So,
yeah.
And the guy's like, no, this is not cell shaded at all, because I was talking to the guy from 2K and he was like, oh, no, that's cell shaded. I said, no, if you really look into it, it's all 3D polygonal, but it's just the way they shaded in the colors. It looks very comic book like. The art style is fantastic. Really enjoy the hell out of that game.
Well, that's kind of what cell shading is, dude. It's just the way they do the textures on a polygonal model.
It's different. You know, when he talked about it, I definitely saw, because there's not like the dark outlines. That's not there.
It doesn't necessarily have to be. Anything that is like anything that they put like almost a 2D cartoony or comic-y look to on a 3D, you know, a 3D a polygonal character, I mean, that's considered cell shading.
Yeah, and I agree, but when he was explaining like the graphical style and everything next to me, when you see it, you'll kind of know what I'm talking about. It's different because it definitely isn't cell shaded, because when you look at your hands and the guns and the darkness itself, like, it's not cell shading. It's different. Like you'll see it when the game comes out. Like, right. I think it's next year. That's the game's next year. So I'm super psyched about that. I do want to talk about Mass Effect 3 for a little bit, for one quick second. That'll be the last thing I talk about. It was not playable, but BioWare played a gameplay mission for us. And dude, I got to tell you, like, we were probably in a room of about, because it wasn't part of like the big like E3 looking experience. This was like a little private screening room that they gave us, and it's about 150 people all watching the video. And after it was done, it was so heart wrenching and so depressing. Like, they, like, I swear to God, a girl left crying. It was like, rough, dude.
They have some big ass shoes to fill with this storyline. That's all.
Huge shoes to fill. Basically, what they showed us was very early on in the game. It was when you're first on Earth, and of course the Reapers are attacking, and it's Shepard, and he's fighting along with Anderson. And Anderson's actually at this point in the game, Anderson is one of your squad mates, so you get to control him around back and forth as well.
Oh,
and
that's
you're
different.
Going through, yeah, and. Just they use death in a specific way, and it's not a spoiler. It's not Anderson. Anderson doesn't die, but they use death in such a specific way at the end of the gameplay demo. I don't want to spoil it because you have to see for yourself that, like, all you saw was when they lifted the lights, just jaws were on the ground. Like, it was just so mind blowing. And
I hate
so
you're
amazing.
The hype,
like,
right now.
Be hyped, dude. Be hyped.
Because we really need to build the hype for Mass Effect 3.
Dude, this game is going to be so, so good. And you can definitely tell, like, they upgraded to the Unreal 3 engine. There was absolutely no texture pop in. The lighting was so much better.
Just was the gameplay similar to Mass Effect 2 still?
Oh, exactly similar. I mean, it's almost the same exact gameplay, but they really showed off the melee combat as well. With the blade that comes out. I really, really dig that. There are some other tweaks and everything like that, and they showed some of the guns that have, like, you know, how you can have them be more customized to your playstyle. I like that a lot.
So when they had the choice, did they or did they not use Kinect?
No, they did not use Kinect. It was all controller based.
So, BioWare had the choice, and they decided not to.
And they didn't go, yeah. So, but that's basically, like, overall, like, what I've been playing the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been here. I've really been dying to talk about this stuff that I played. It's just a lot of good games coming out, man. I'm super psyched
for it.
So, yeah, it's a lot of good stuff. So, anyway, Chris.
Yeah.
What up, dog?
Yeah, well, I don't have much to add, I guess. last week I talked about Blood Rain. I did beat it, and it's got its issues, and it's got its, you know, positives and stuff like that. I'm going to be writing a review and putting it up on the site. I was originally going to do an audio review and do it on the podcast, but you know, we envisioned this show going a little long, so we decided not to do it that way. You know, basically, it boils down to if you like old school Castlevania, you will probably like this game, but it's got some control issues big time. So,
is it a Metroidvania or is it?
No, it is an old school. Like you are going to the top of this castle. Yeah, yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, that's what it's like. It's an old school Castlevania game, and it's got more combat options. So The only problem is that there's just, you know, WayForward just needs to do a little bit more tweaking on their combat because just the platforming in general, because the controls are not as finely tuned as they should be to make this type of game. So,
do you think it's because of too much focus on animation? Because I noticed that the game looks beautiful and motion.
I have a feeling that might be part of it. WayForward is known for that. And I have no complaints about how this game looks. This game is probably one of the best 2D games I have ever played as far as visuals go.
Like against Guilty Gear?
I think like Guilty Gear, Blaze Blue. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's up there with that.
Cool.
And I mean, I actually think that, in some ways the animation is better than something like Blaze Blue. I mean, Blaze Blue was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, this is a much different game, so it's hard to compare. But from this perspective, you know, especially in the 2D, like, platforming genre, the adventure platform genre, there's no game that comes close in this type of graphical style. I did beat the game. It is very hard. It goes back to – it's Castlevania 1 hard. I mean, that's how hard the game is. The problem is that in a lot of times it's hard because the controls are not good enough.
Yeah.
You'll get more information about that when I post the review. Hopefully it'll be up next week. We've got a lot of reviews probably going up next week. So, there's that. Play some more Deus Ex, trying to inch my way through that. I'm still in China because I've been playing a lot of Blood Rain, but I'm still enjoying the hell out of that game, and I'm gonna be getting through it as quickly as I can. More Parasite Eve because we're doing the game club that Vitamin Amy on Retroid started up. So
when did this happen? I'm gonna play some Parasite Eve. I got that bitch on my PlayStation.
Oh really? Yeah. Go to Retroids, man. There's a group. It's literally just called the Retroids Game Club, and it's pretty much just like a book club. Each month we're gonna pick a game and we're gonna play it. So this month was Parasite Eve. Last week I talked about it quite a bit. I said there, you know, I was talking about how long the game is, about 6 days. I just started day five. So that's kind of where I am. It's supposed to be the longest day, the longest part of the game. So
yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Hopefully next week I'll come back and I will have beaten it by then, because I am enjoying it. I mean, it kind of holds up, you know, it's got its issues, you know, because it's an older game, but it kind of holds up. You know, I'm still enjoying myself. Was that a check on gravity? Is gravity still working?
No, it's my freaking cup's eye.
So your cup fell, so you were checking gravity. That's what I was getting at. It was a bad joke. Okay. So not this past week, but the week before when we were doing IndieStream, we did wacky Japanese games. And Nabushin kind of, you know, he touched on it a little bit. We played, you know, I can't remember what the name of the first game we played was, but it was a rhythm game from Sega that was in Japan. Then Jason let me play a little bit of the Phantasy Star Portable Infinite demo. And then I played the Valkyria Chronicles 3 demo. Well, that in turn made me go back to Valkyria Chronicles 2. So I'm back into that. I'm picking it up at 65 hours into the game and...
Ooh.
trying to get through it. I mean, this game is it's amazing that I can just pick it up again and be as intrigued as I was then. So I'm really enjoying myself with it again. And anyone who's into like the strategy RPG genre, if you haven't checked out Valkyria Chronicles, you really need to.
You need to. It's really the really, best. Really need to. It is. Like it's the best.
It is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about it. So, I mean, I've been just, you know, working away at older games. I didn't get anything new this week. So, I think the next game I'm getting is going to be later this month when, Shadow of the Colossus and Ico come out, man.
I'm fully paid off for that, bitch. I'm ready to go, son.
I'm not, but I'm ready for it.
I have Shadow of the Colossus on PS2, but I still have to go back and play Ico. So I may just invest in it.
I'll tell you it's worth it just to play Shadow of the Colossus at a constant frame rate. I don't give a fuck if it's 30 or 60, as long as it's constant, because Shadow of the Colossus was fucking awesome, but that frame rate was all over the place and it really was distracting playing it. But I mean, it's still a great game.
It's like probably my number one favorite game of all time. So
I'm easily pumped. This is one of the few games where I'm like, I'm literally looking forward to the 3D feature.
Because I forgot that they added that,
right? See some things in 3D in this game, how like, you know, having a Wander in the foreground and having like really far away, having that having like a Colossus walk into you real slow. I think that's gonna look really, really good.
If they do it well, you know, hopefully.
If they do it well, yeah. So yeah. I'm super hyped for that, man. Pick of the week.
And the God of War Origins came out last week, and I haven't, you know, or this week I should say, but I haven't messed with that yet. So I mean, there's games out there that I want to get. I just haven't gotten around to them. So right now it's gonna be all about Deus Ex until the next game I'm gonna buy comes out. So
those backlogs, man.
I know, right? I'm hoping to take care of some of that at Extra Life, but we'll get into that hopefully next week a little bit. But yeah, that's it. So I'm going to say, you know, 59 minutes later, let's talk about some news, man.
Why not?
Let's go through news real quick.
Why not? I don't know anything that's going on.
Well, I got out a couple things that I just wanted to throw around. And if you guys want to talk about them, we can. If not, that's fine too. There's a couple of them that may or may not be intriguing to you guys. But the most important news story that I got is that you people, when it comes out,
you people
need to buy Guardian Heroes on Xbox Live Arcade, because a sequel is possible depending on whether or not this port is a success. So go out and buy Guardian, the port of Guardian Heroes that comes out on XBLA in a couple of weeks. If it sells well, they're going to make a sequel. And Guardian Heroes is fucking awesome. So go out there and get it.
Yes, guys. Do not disappoint Papa Scoots. Buy the game so he gets a sequel.
Thank you very much, Halfling Diva. I appreciate that. let's see. Next, no Monster Hunter 4 on the Vita. And the reason that this is kind of why I put this in here, and I think we'll talk about it more later, is because it is coming to 3DS, which is really weird to me, because the portable space, Monster Hunter, has always been on PlayStation. And now it's kind of moving over. And it uses...
Well, I mean, they made a big move with Nintendo, but yeah.
Well, yeah, and they did put Monster Hunter Tri on Wii. You know, the Wii. And I guess the reasoning behind that is so they didn't have to redo the graphics and put them in HD. But maybe that's why they're putting Monster Hunter 4 on the 3DS, because the graphical style is so close, they don't have to work very hard for it.
Right.
You know, I have a feeling that that's what Capcom's doing with this. And it actually kind of pisses me off, because Monster Hunter is due for a – I mean, come on. Come into the current generation. You're living in the past. I mean, the game is – all the games that have been released have been with PS2 graphics. I mean, come on.
The game has had a huge cult following, is the only thing. And Capcom is notorious for repeating every game that sells well. And they'll do whatever it takes to make sure they make a profit off it. And
I'm not
bashing Capcom, because they make freaking awesome games. But to a certain extent, that's probably where they're coming from.
Right. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. You know, it's like Monster Hunter started on the PS2. Right. And then transition to PSP was not hard. Then transition to the Wii was not hard, because they're pretty much, I mean, the Wii is a little bit more powerful than the PS2, but still not a big upgrade in like the visuals department. And now the 3DS is out, and that's no upgrade in the visual department. You know, it's pretty much on par with the PSP. So I really think they're just trying to avoid redoing all the visuals. I mean, it's ridiculous to me. It's like, come on.
It is a little frustrating, but until Monster Hunter actually gets a huge mainstream following, I can't see it ever.
But that's the thing.
It.
In Japan, it has one.
Well, yeah, okay. That's
in true. Japan, it is the best-selling game. Like, when it comes out, it is the best-selling game for, like, months when a new one comes out. So, I mean,
maybe just the fact that it's so easy to make now, and that they're still making shit tons of money off of it. They're not going to try harder. They're not going to spend more budget on it.
And that's what I'm getting at. They're basically creating a game that's already been done. They're adding some more bosses and maybe a few new maps, and they're putting it out there.
Yeah.
It's like, this is Capcom's Call of Duty. let's see what else. So Dick Move. It's Dick Move of the Week.
Dick Move!
Sony apparently has, in the new terms of service... has reserved the right to deny PSN to anyone who participates in a class action lawsuit against them.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't read the whole thing. I just kind of glanced over it.
That's the point, right? Isn't that the point? Like, it's so much shit, you never read it, you just hit accept, right?
Right. Well, that's the thing. What I mean is I didn't read the article, but I mean, nobody reads the fucking terms of service, but
No.
I mean, I don't know one person that says, yeah, I was reading the terms of service the other day. It's like, no, you fucking weren't. Shut the hell up. but yeah, apparently it's, let's see. This language in our terms of service is common and similar to that of many other service related terms of service agreements. So apparently they're just brushing it off as like other people do it too. But, you know, in my opinion, this is a dick move. So it's straight up saying if you dispute, like legally dispute something that we do, we can deny you PSN access. Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's kind of like,
well, I mean,
you.
How many people are actually going to go through lawsuits with Sony?
Class action lawsuits happen to Sony a lot.
But
it's happened a few times.
Like on the civilian level?
Yeah. I mean, look at the PS2. There was a huge class action lawsuit with the PS2 that made it so that they had to replace the first gen units like up to 6 years out. I mean, yeah, I had my PS2 for like probably 3-4 years before it failed. And I got a free replacement out of it because it was a first gen unit.
And
all
so
I had to say,
they would be able to block you from PSN network usage because you actually got a replacement PS2.
No, because I didn't actually take part in the lawsuit. Okay. I benefited from what happened in the lawsuit, but I didn't take part of it. But yeah, basically, you know, they're saying like right now, I think there's a class action lawsuit based on, you know, the whole hacking of the PSN. And I think that what they're saying is people that are that are actually joining in with that are going to be denied PlayStation Network service.
Okay.
So it's let's see, reports that if you sign up for the PlayStation Network, you waive the right to sue as part of a group. That's crazy. Oh, Sony.
I got a little something right here.
Go for it.
I just sniped this out right here on the joysticks. Mortal Kombat. 3 million units worldwide, and that's sold in, of course, but like...
Well, that's shipped, right?
That's shipped.
Yeah.
But they still made money on every single unit that's shipped because somebody had to buy those, right? So, I mean, I gotta tell you what, man, that's a lot of copies, and that's gonna bring me into, I think, what's gonna be our IndusFest bet. Well, it won't make any sense, actually, for IndusFest because IndusFest is in 3 weeks, and my bet is actually about the end of the year. By the end of the year, I can almost guarantee you with those sales, I mean, this is the most easily Mortal Kombat's most successful game on a console, all right? And it's it's got to be the most successful fighting game of the year.
Yes, definitely.
So that being said, I can almost guarantee you by January 1st, 2012, they will have announced like an ultimate Mortal Kombat. They're gonna release another Mortal Kombat. They're gonna another iteration of the same game.
Well, I mean, they're gonna totally do a Street Fighter. I mean,
they've got to.
Typical, but yeah.
There's no way they're not going to, because they see Capcom making all this scratch by reselling these games over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's write it down. It's going to happen. There's gonna be new $40 Mortal Kombat.
No, there'll be like a Mortal Kombat Complete or something like that that comes with all the characters and shit like that. So
I'm kind of confused what's going on lately though, because they released the Freddy Krueger. What was it? Like a month ago, and usually they're releasing them like every 2 weeks. And I mean, I know that's not long enough period to say, but they haven't really been pushing out content as quickly. So they said they would start to diminish releases when people stop playing it as much. So that's kind of the scary aspect of your little bet.
There's
I don't know.
One
we'll see.
Coming.
We'll see. I have the game. I've never put it in my PS3. I'll be honest with you.
It's awesome.
I know it is. I played it. I just haven't put it in my PS3 yet. I played it at Jason's place, like during
the stream that I was
the stream.
At, yeah,
yeah. We play. That's right. We played it together, but that's it. I mean, I got it on sale at like Amazon or something like that. I haven't played it. I haven't actually played my copy yet. So yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. You know, there'll be some sort of, you know, combined package that comes with all the characters and shit like that. So I wouldn't be surprised. Works for fucking Capcom. They do it all the fucking time, man.
I mean, as long as they release more content for an awesome game, I'm definitely not against it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's. I'm gonna make friends with Sony again. Lots of Vita news. Some of it good, some of it bad. I don't know if you guys have seen what's going on with Tokyo Game Show lately, But things like Final Fantasy X with an HD remake on PS3 and Vita.
Love it.
So that's, you know, some people will love that. I'm indifferent about it. Vita has a release date of December 17th in Japan. They're sticking to the 2012 thing for Japan, or 2011 thing for Japan, which means that hopefully they will stick to fiscal 11 for us.
Yeah, it'll be fiscal, for sure.
So I'm hoping to see that. Apparently there's been like 26 titles announced for the launch window, which is crazy. And that includes like Metal Gear Solid, Zone of Enders, like remakes. So I'm really hoping that it's not going to be all remakes up at the start. It's like, use some of this new technology that you've put in this thing and show me what's up. They also said that over 500 PSP games are going to be available on the PlayStation Network, and that they are talking about a UMD program.
Yes.
Make this shit happen. It needs to happen. I have fucking 50 something games on UMD. I need these games to be transferred to digital form.
What if they even charged you like some sort of accessory or some like a licensing fee or anything like that? Even if they charged you a little something, would you be okay with that?
Depends on how much.
I wouldn't mind
an accessory. If there's going to be an accessory that's going to allow me to rip my games onto my Vita, I am fine with that, because how much is it going to be? Like $50?
I was thinking maybe like 30, yeah, 40 tops.
And that's what I'm getting is like, it's $50. Okay, I've got 50 something games. That's $1 a game. I can deal with that. Yeah. It's worth it to me.
Yeah.
As far as like a licensing fee, I have a feeling that they would charge at least like $5 for that. And I don't think I would be transferring all of my games for $5 each.
Yeah, you would have to pick and choose. It'd be
a pick and choose thing at that point. So that would kind of annoy me. But, you know, something's better than nothing. There are games that I would pay to get transferred over to the Vita. Monster Hunter is probably one of them. So there you have it.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to be day one, though. Does that seem like it would be a day one thing? They're just talking about it right now. Yeah,
absolutely
not.
They haven't even confirmed it. They're just kind of throwing it around, thinking about whether or not they're going to do it. Which means they're probably not. They're just like enticing people to get the Vita more.
These guys are a very, very well-known public company, and in terms of the way video gamers are, man, they are no more enthused and spiritual and like just so strong-willed people in terms of like, you know, what they talk about online and the long short of it, no one gets mad like gamers. And in my opinion, Sony would not make that comment if they were not going to do something.
I would not bet on that.
Why would
they?
You...
They mentioned something about it before when the Go came out, I believe. I may be wrong. I'm not 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure that this idea got talked about a little bit when the Go came out. And it never happened.
See, I don't remember that, but this was something that, I mean, it has been publicized on all the big sites. Like, hey, they said this, and I'm going to tell you what, if they do not follow through with this,
they need to do this shit.
If they don't, like, if they don't follow through with this, people will remember it and people will bring it back up.
Oh, yeah. I do not doubt that. I hope so, because it's a bunch of shit. I will join that class action lawsuit and sacrifice PSN.
You can't do it now. You hit accept.
So did you guys hear about how they're doing the plans for the 3G?
No, I did not.
The ones in Japan apparently are going to be prepaid. And so here's what they're saying. It's like they got a carrier over there. It's like NTT Docomo or something like that. And it's like they said that they worked out prepaid plans where the base feature is 20 hours of data for 980 yen, which is $10 about, let's say. And they said that the deluxe is 100 hours of Vita data plan, and it's $50, or about 4,890 yen. So take that how you will. I doubt AT&T is going to do something like that.
Oh, no.
If they do, they're going to charge you more. Because you know what? 20 hours of data for $10 doesn't seem that bad to me.
Yeah,
I'll say that, because you seriously, it's like if you have 20 hours of data, you know, you're sitting there getting data for 20 hours, and based on your internet connection, it's not like you have, you know, 2 gigs. You know, 2 gigs will download in 20 hours. I promise you. So you know, we'll see how that translates over
especially
to America.
Especially in Japan, too.
Yeah, Japan has a much better, you know, a much better plan than we do over here. It's like
right.
they're on 4G speeds everywhere. You know, they don't have, like, I mean, I'll tell you what, man, I got 4G on my phone. If I'm indoors, I don't get it. I don't get it indoors. I have to be outside, like, holding my phone in the air. No. As long as, if I'm outside, I get it. And, you know, my 4G speed is about, it's about 6 meg. So it's pretty good. But it's, you know, it's not, I mean, that's what everybody in Japan has, probably. I'm pretty sure. They all have, like, they're way ahead of us when it comes to that shit.
Right.
Well, I mean, like, I think the best way to experience the Japanese download speeds and all that is to go to Georgia Tech, because I went over there and they were freaking downloading like fiends. I was like, what is this? I've never seen download speeds this fast. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, how can it be that fast? Why do we not have this as a norm in America, you know? But
cool. That's all I have for news. So do you guys have anything else that you want to throw out there?
Nope.
All right. I don't have a who gives a shit this week. I didn't find one. Lots of good TGS news, so it was hard to find.
The only thing I saw was maybe like a video about Dead or Alive 5 and Soul Calibur 5, but it's about the extent of my news.
I can who gives a shit Dead or Alive 5, that's for sure.
Hey, what? Whatever. Dead or Alive 5 is freaking awesome. I think you'd who gives a shit Soul Calibur 5, man.
Who gives a shit any fighting game right now, man. I just haven't. It's like I said, Mortal Kombat, I bought it, haven't played it. Marvel vs. Capcom, I bought it, I've played it like twice, and that's it.
So, well, that's the thing that really, has been bothering me.
Let's
with
see.
That.
A lot of Sonic's friends were going to be in Sonic Generations, but they're not going to be playable. Who?
Who gives a shit?
Gives a shit. Because I give none.
I don't. Sonic's friends should all just be killed. They should have one game that actually kills all of them off, and it's just Sonic and maybe Tails and maybe Knuckles. I like that.
How about just stop playing Sonic games?
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that one. I love my favorite webcomic is of Sonic Cycle. Like, the guy who's never going to play Sonic again, and then the Sonic game comes out, and he's, oh, really happy!
This Sonic is going to bring it back to the old school. Oh my god, I'm so happy! Oh, I'm never going to play another Sonic game. Yeah, I've seen that one. All right, cool. Well, let's take a break then.
Why not?
We're going to come back. We're going to talk about, well, I called it patching consoles, but, you know, in reality, it's more of an accessory thing, and it changing the way the system works. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and then we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
It's your boy, Double O Rican, with a special interactive distraction announcement. Dropping this fall from Indes, Chris, Jason, Jeff, and Travis want you to do it one more game for the
2011.
That's right, Indes Fest.
Third Strike.
So keep your ears unlocked to interactive distraction every week for further details. Rican Fest!
Trace.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Thank you for taking Jeff's spot, Travis. That was very nice of you.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, so we have quite a few emails on this subject that we are speaking about today. So I'm going to pass it over to Mr. Travis and let him read those.
What's up, bitches? Buddy. Oh, I miss you guys
so much. It's been a while since you've done this, huh?
It's been what I like to call a hot minute. All right, so coming up first, my homeboy, my main man, Mike Strife.
Nobody
he knows who he is.
That's
right. He says, hey guys, I thought I'd jump in for your hardware patching question. I know this is spawned by the 3BS, as Chris calls it. And
yes, I
think
do.
It's justified. It's a justified question when you see what they're doing to that thing. We've seen some great and terrible hardware patches in the past. In my opinion, on the good side are things like the top-loading NES that doesn't blink at you. The Sega CD, I know it gets hate, but it has quite a few good games. N64 RAM expansion and the PS2 network adapter. On the bad side, we got stuff like the Sega 32X, the Wii Motion Plus, the PS3 with PS2 hardware removed, and the DSi features, and also now the 3DS. Between the screen scratching issues and battery life, we need a brand new iteration already, but the fact that they're trying to squeeze in an extra analog stick that isn't needed and providing older users with a pretty lame-looking attachment is quite a bit of a joke. I just hope that games do not require the additional stick and have control schemes that accommodate users who don't want to use it. This comes down to a case-by-case evaluation, and I think it's the case of the 3DS. They should just forget about the second stick and continue with the regular light version you know they already had planned. At this point, they're just freaking out because of the sales and trying to do anything they can do to get back on top, and they're making a ton of bad decisions because of it. Love, Mike Strife. I got bad news for you, dog. There are going to be games that require two sticks.
There's already games announced that require two sticks. Now, I will say that Mike sent this email before those games were announced.
Yeah.
However,
but even if they're going to actually require it, do you actually think it's going to be consistent? I can see most users completely not buying those games.
Without a doubt. It's going to be a matter of months. All right. Sometime
or
at least
before we hear a revision,
we're going to hear a full revision, like a 3DS mini with built-in sticks, and it's going to be the norm.
Yeah.
Write it down. It's happening.
I see. Last week, I would not have been as gung-ho about that. I would not have been as quick to jump on the Nintendo hate bandwagon about saying that they're going to do another revision. But after seeing the games that are going to use it. Like, Monster Hunter 3 is going to use it, and we knew that. We knew that one. But fucking Kingdom Hearts is going to use it. What other games did they say? They said Metal Gear Solid is going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
They said Resident Evil is going to use it. I mean, here's the list that I've got right now. Monster Hunter 3G, Resident Evil Revelations, Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater, Ace Combat 3D Cross Rumble, Dynasty Warriors Versus, and Kingdom Hearts 3D. They are all going to use it. They might not all require it, but they're all going to use it. That means there's a fucking revision coming out.
But what pisses me the hell off about it is why didn't they release it as that to begin with? Like, how would the dual stick requirement, they already had one joystick on a lot of portables by that time. Like, why didn't they do the dual stick?
I wish I could answer that question, because you know what? They had to see all the fucking hate that the PSP was getting for only having one stick.
Yeah.
It's like, when I first saw the 3DS, I'm like, I saw it and I was like, great. It's a PSP that does 3D. That's what it is. It's a PSP that does 3D and has two screens.
Yep.
Big fucking deal about the two screens. But it was a bad design decision. It's like from the start. But I think that the thing is that they were just like, oh, we're Nintendo and, you know, we could get away with anything. And that's the way they think right now.
Yeah.
They made the Wii and they think it can get away with that shit. And they made the 3D, the regular DS. Both were a huge success. The DS has sold like 150 million units.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's actually more successful, isn't it?
What, the DS?
Yeah.
It's the most successful console ever.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's lay this down as consumers now, because Chris, you got it for a little bit of a cheaper price than but you get it kind of in the middle of what it was and what it is.
Right. All right? I got it for basically $200 plus tax.
Right. Now, Nate, did you jump on that joint? Do you have a 3DS?
Hell no.
Okay. So here's the deal. I got it. I jumped on that bitch for $250. Okay. So, I, as a consumer, I am in the fool me once. Shame on me, okay, guys? But I'm okay. I was okay with the price drop. I honestly was. I was like, you know what? They announced a price drop, but in the same breath, they announced that people who bought it for $250 is going to be reimbursed. So I had no room to get mad. I was not pissed once, and I've, to this day, been completely fine with it. Completely fine with the price drop, okay? The second they announced this, I saw the future. I saw the next 5 years of this console. And by the end of the console's life, the norm will be twin sticks. And the fact that for me to do that, I have to either A, buy a clunky peripheral, which is super fucking big, or B, I have to buy another console and a whole another 3DS. And I don't like either one of those.
I don't either. Now, see, right now, you know who you're reminding me of? Beesball. Because I was just listening to the latest Noobs, and he's a freaking, you might as well label him a Nintendo fanboy, because
he loves
Nintendo.
Huge.
He is so pissed about it. And I can't say I blame him. I mean,
well, that's bullshit.
All right, so here's my thing. And I want to thank Mike for sending in an email that doesn't single out the 3DS, because I it was not my intention. Yes, the 3DS is what sparked it, but it was not my intention to single out the 3DS. So I mean, in my opinion, things like he got it right. Most of what he said is right. So, you know, I wasn't really talking about console revisions. So, you know, top loading NES, that was a great thing. Yeah. That's not what I was talking about. But like the Sega CD, the N64 RAM expansion, the PS2 network adapter, fucking, you can go back to the PS1 and the PS1 had regular controllers with digital pads, had no analog sticks. And then halfway through the life cycle, they brought out these new controllers that had dual analog sticks.
Had to have it for Ape Escape.
Ape Escape was the first game that used it, and they weren't the last. There were other games that used it. So, I mean, it's not like this is the first time it happened. However, this is the first time it's happened to a portable system. And that's the thing. I can deal with them making modifications. Wii Motion Plus, I'm kind of pissed off about that because I like to call it Wii Motion what it should have been when it was released. But you know what? It's okay. It wasn't that expensive. It's a home console. Doesn't really affect me all that much. They released a controller that's the same price that has it built in. So I didn't actually have to buy any of the Wii Motion Pluses. I just got, I have one like Wii Remote Plus or whatever the fuck they call it. So I have one of those. So it's not that big of a deal to me. You know, controller on the PS1, not that big of a deal. But this completely changes the game because you are adding this shit onto a portable machine that changes the form factor, changes how portable it is. I mean, I don't want to carry this shit around.
No.
I mean, the 3DS is a decent size. All right. It's not fucking huge, but it's not small either. It fits in my pocket. I'm cool with it there. You know, not with this fucking slide pad. You know, so now if I want to play Monster Hunter on my 3DS, I have to bring the slide pad around with me too.
Right.
And that's just more space. I mean, that's why I think this is completely different. You know, this is the first time it's happened.
Even worse that it should have been standard to begin with.
Exactly.
Like, there's nothing innovative about this at all. Why would you release something that would make sense from the get go? Like, how long has the PSP been out?
The PSP came out in fucking like 2005, dude.
Yeah.
It's been out for like 6 years.
And people were pissed off about the single joystick. Like, come on. Yeah. Like, you could totally make a leap there. But like you said, it's totally Nintendo just trying to capitalize off of what they can.
Exactly.
And this also doesn't cause a problem for consumers as well. Well, it still, in the end, causes a problem for the consumer and everything like that. But there was a great peripheral, an add-on that was added to the 3DS in the external Nyko battery, which adds like an extra 2.5 hours to your straight-up game time when you're playing it. Chris, our buddy Hardiman, he picked it up. He says it's one of the best purchases for the 3DS he's ever made. Guess what? That extra one quarter of an inch makes the system bulkier. All right? Guess what? Can't use it.
Yeah. And okay, so here's another thing that got me about this. Okay, you know what? Let's save this. Go do another email. I'll come back to it because you know what? We're gonna be bitching the whole time.
Fired up, motherfucker.
do another email. Let's go.
Dear Interactive Distractions, Adventurine here once again. I was pondering your question of the week for a little while and realized that hardware updates are pretty much standard for PC gamers.
That's true.
Every couple of years or so, having to upgrade memory, hard drive, etc., it's pretty much expected. Since consoles are pretty much PCs nowadays, that doesn't really surprise me too much. Granted, the 3DS thing is a bit BS due to the short length of time since the console came out, as Jeff can attest to. If having to upgrade a console in some ways limited to certain titles, then the argument can be made that you don't have to play those titles, such as having to buy the Molson XXX keg standard peripheral in order to play Drunken Canadian Moose 3000.
That's lost because Jeff's not here.
Yeah, exactly. If the peripheral is essential to playing a vast majority of games for the console, then I would declare shenanigans, and the console should not have been released in the first place. Those are my two shekels. Interactive Festival de Distraction Toi.
Yes, thank you, Adventurine. And we will see your ass in a few weeks at Indus.
Fucking right!
I am excited. We're gonna have a few of the. I think we're gonna have a few of the Game and Talk guys. So that's gonna be fun.
Is Robbie coming? Is our bud Rob?
I think there was something about Rob coming, so I'm not 100% sure. I haven't heard like confirmation yet. But,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting him.
I need a new black friend. That's gonna be cool.
I feel like such a new guy. Like, please stop.
You'll meet all these people, dude. You'll meet them all.
Oh, I'm excited, but yeah.
All right. Anyways. So, okay. The one thing that I will say about, okay. Well, actually, you know what? This is fate because Nate's on the show and Nate is the biggest PC gamer we have in this. So how is it, how does this compare for you compared to like the 3DS? Like
I was listening to what he was saying and I was like, I understand that PC requires hardware updates, but then to a certain extent, that's a general term. Yeah. It's a very general idea because I don't have to upgrade my keyboard. Yeah, I think keyboard is very consistent for like the beginning of PC gaming. So, I mean, it's completely different upgrading your graphics card in relation to your keyboard.
In our game, you see, we don't use WASD, we use QuasD. So you're going to have to use the Q to, you know, I don't know.
But like, see, the thing is, with the new controller, like that's just standard with the PC. Like PC is consistent, and that's what I was saying is you don't get that. Like they should have from the get-go had that controller consistency. The hardware update, like, sorry, I'm all over the place with this. Like
that's okay. This is normal for us.
The N64 with the RAM update, that was kind of necessary, but at the same time it wasn't. But that's more leaning towards that PC idea, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And like if you look at the Saturn as well, like the Saturn had like there were certain games that actually came with a RAM cart that you put into the cartridge slot of the Saturn that actually added RAM to the machine so it could keep up. Like X-Men versus Street Fighter on the Saturn in Japan came with a 4 meg RAM cart that you put in the so it could keep up with all the animation that happened and like just loading all the shit that was in memory. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that I would compare to PC upgrades. But I didn't even think about it, but your analogy is perfect because it's like mouse and keyboard hasn't changed in how long?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's ever updated. I mean, I think like when Half-Life came out, the WSAD was probably like standard because you were always used to like the control, the arrow keys and all that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, other than that, like even then it was still the same control scheme. So I don't know, like if it's a major hardware update where it affects like there's certain games that just can't play without this. Like, they can make games on the 3DS that could play without that, you know? And it doesn't make any sense why they would add this freaking clunky, disgusting, asymmetrical bullshit for the device. You know what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree. Because I'll tell you what, man. When I first heard about the possibility of this, I envisioned something that instead of the other circle pad being where it is, which is to the right of the actual buttons, I envisioned something that basically folded over the system so that it was underneath the buttons. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I envisioned. So it was almost like a 360 setup where you were using the circle pad was a little higher.
Oh.
No. Like the circle pad was a little higher on the left side than it was on the right side. It almost that's what I envisioned at first.
You know, and that would have probably been better is what I was thinking looking at it. I was like, you know, if it was a little bit lower, like vertically, it would make more sense.
Yeah, and it might have actually, you know, it would have made it that actual like this accessory smaller. So it might have made it, you know, less like bulky and nasty looking. Mm-hmm. But you know, to bring back what Travis is talking about with the battery add-on, that's one of the things that really fucking pisses me off. It's like, you know, you have shitty battery life. Now you want an accessory that takes a battery instead of actually making an accessory that, since you got to plug the shit into the machine anyway, just put a battery in the accessory. Just add like 3 hours of fucking life to this machine. I shouldn't have to put a battery in it. It should be a fucking battery. I should be able to charge it and it should be done.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with that though, I kind of agree. Like I think I would rather have the battery add-on than the controller add-on, to be honest.
And that's what I'm saying. If you have to have an add-on anyway, why not put a battery in it? It's like tablets are the thing right now. And one of the big things was the Asus transformer, which like plugged into like a keyboard dock. And when you plugged it into the keyboard dock, you got like 10 more hours of battery life out of the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, this should be the same. You know,
you've got standard.
You got to dock it into this little thing. It should have an extended battery life to it. I mean, mm-hmm. If you're going to make me buy a fucking accessory, at least make it worth it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's... You sure are quiet over there, man.
What's that?
You sure are quiet.
Oh, I was good. I was checking my tweets, actually.
I'm sorry we were boring you.
Oh, no. I love docs and stuff. It's awesome. Ricky C. dropping.
Way to completely miss the point. I'm our so glad you were paying attention.
Friend of the show, our homeboy Ricky C. drops us another email, guys. He says, your favorite, your friendly neighborhood L team here to give you his thoughts on the question of the week. I can't quit fucking laughing. Oh, he says, okay, so is it okay to patch, quote unquote patch, I'm doing air quotes over the radio, hardware, is it okay to upgrade and add space to your hard drive, to your PC and consoles, and yes, handhelds? Is it okay to buy the Wi-Fi adapter for your PC or your Xbox? Is it okay to buy 5.1 or 7.1 surround sound headset or speakers so that you can listen to the sound of you and your Fable 1, 2, and 3 wife get it on all around you? The short and simple answer is yes, you can. The long answer is a complicated yes. But it isn't called patching. Patching in games is totally different from what you're referring to. And I think he's taking the literal sense now.
Yeah, I was about to say, he missed the joke on that one, but okay.
So I'll skip that part where he's telling us that we're wrong, it's not patching. But... So I'll skip to the next paragraph. Unless Nintendo is requiring you to have to play it for future games, and it makes complete sense, and it should piss off a good number of early or even current 3DS owners. Stupid move, which that I can say Nintendo doesn't want to do and shouldn't do, is if they have the common sense, which isn't so common. So should we call it rare sense? Yeah. So send your questions. Okay. Oh, I totally fucked that up. So if they have a common sense, which isn't so common, so shouldn't they call it rare sense? Send your questions to Indus episode, insert episode number here. I'm just extending this thing because I've actually run out of things to talk about.
I don't want to end it, so I'm continuing
to type in hopes that this gets read. Please read that last sentence and this one. And in one breath to make it seem like it's a very important topic and needs to be said before someone interjects into the sentence. That is all. \inline And I can't even read that. It's all jumbled together. So
no idea what this is about.
Yeah. So back to the question, is it okay to create accessories or to patch hardware? Is the sun hot? Is the water wet? Are humans fleshy beings meant to be thrown at high velocity into pools of acid for science?
Science?
I agree with the last one.
Then why yes. Yes, they are. Okay, wow. So I think L Team here is actually saying that, yes, this is all right, unless there are specifics.
Right. Unless it's required, which is what he said. And again, this was an email that was sent before they announced the other games. So now we know it is required. The other thing I was going to mention is, well, now that we know it's required, like all the things that he mentioned, it's like, is it okay to add space or hard drive or something like that? Wi-Fi adapters, surround sound systems. That's all optional, though.
Yeah, I was totally thinking that.
Is it
optional? Okay, well, wait a minute. My router has to be upstairs.
Okay.
Next. Why? To my, because it's plugged into my modem. But it has to be. The way my house is wired, it has to be up there. I have all my system. I have systems upstairs and I have systems downstairs. All of them do Wi-Fi. All right. If I want to play downstairs, on my Xbox, I have an original console, so I have to have the adapter.
All right. Well, there's two things I would say about.
But here's my thing though. Here's my thing. Let me finish that point though. I'm okay with that.
Agreed. But here is my. But it's still optional because. Do you necessarily have to buy the Wi-Fi adapter? No. Technically, you could run wire down to where your Xbox is. Or you don't have to buy that adapter. You can go out and get a wireless Ethernet bridge and just hook your Ethernet cable up to the bridge and hook it to your wireless that way. Yeah. So you have options there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's neither here nor there. The idea is that those things don't necessarily change the experience of the gameplay. And how a game is played. This attachment is changing it. The closest thing I can say to the most recent thing that I can say that relates to this attachment is the PS1 doing the dual analog controller? Because that's basically what it is. It's saying, here is a completely different way to control your game. You know, go forward and be happy.
You know what, though? I was more accepting of the dual analog because it was so innovative. Like, it was something new. This is nothing new. That's the biggest issue I have with this shit.
Well, and I agree. And my two biggest issues are, number one, it should have been there in the first place, which we've been saying.
Yeah.
Number two, this is a portable console that you just made not portable.
Yeah,
this is no longer a portable console, in my opinion.
Yep. Until the new iteration comes out, that's...
Well, what makes it not portable? Just because of the clunky?
Well, I should say the size of this thing. Yeah.
Yes,
I should say it's less portable.
Okay.
It's less portable.
Because, I mean, it's still portable, but it's just... It looks nasty. It's like wearing a book with a book cover and without a book cover.
I can't put it in. I can't stick it in my pocket anymore.
Yeah,
I have to put it in like my backpack or something.
Well,
like
what's
that.
Guaranteed to happen, and I'm pretty sure what's going to happen is people are going to be walking around with it in their pocket, and the freaking joystick breaks.
No, it's not going to. There's no pocket unless you bring JNCOs back. There's no pocket in the world that's going to carry the fucking 3DS.
I still wear cargo pants, man.
But it's a pain in the ass. And guess what? I either have to wear cargo pants, which I'm not going to do, or start wearing a fucking fanny pack and look like a fucking total winner. So it's like
fanny packs are cool.
If you're stupid, I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around.
It's okay.
I know we just lost every single fanny pack wear listener that we've ever had. They're gone.
Does anybody even wear them anymore?
Oh,
I don't.
Who doesn't?
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
well, I mean, cargo we have a ton of people win, coming from out of states to IndusFest. I mean, you gotta hold your passport somewhere.
I'm gonna get punched in the face by someone with a fanny pack like tomorrow. I know it's gonna happen.
At IndusFest, you're gonna have like four people with fanny packs beating the hell out of you.
God, they're gonna hate me.
Anyways, so about that portable and the unportableness.
No, it makes it less portable. I'll say that. As I said, it makes it so it doesn't fit in my pocket anymore. I have to carry it in my bag or just separately or something like that. So.
There's no beauty to it. Like, the fact that the joystick is past the screen, I think is the biggest problem.
It is extremely inelegant, whatever the word is.
Well, it's not even an aesthetic. Like, if your thumb is way beyond the screen, like, even when you play a freaking PC game, your keyboard is, like, in, like, the realm in the what is it? Dimensions of your screen. So you don't have to like think outside of it. But now you have like your left thumb within the screen, but then you have your other thumb like way outside the screen.
You know, that's actually that makes me think about something that I haven't even thought of. If the bottom screen is a touch screen and like I use my thumb a lot to just like quickly touch the screen to do something on it. That's a longer reach and actually affects how well I use the touchpad.
Oh yeah, you're reaching all the way over. Like you're actually having to like, cause if your fingers are grip, your right hand is gripping the one side, cause it has a little grippiness, I guess I'm gonna make that word right now, cause you can grip it better. You would actually have to ungrip it and reach all the way over to the screen.
Yeah.
It is very clunky, yeah.
That almost like negates the fact that you ever would need a touchscreen.
Yeah. It makes it so that if you're using both circle pads, you might as well not use the touchscreen.
Uh-huh.
That's what it seems like to me.
That goes into the whole Wii U and that new controller crap that they got going on. that to me, honestly, that seems like a hardware patch, even though that's going to come with the system.
Well, it is just the HD Wii with that controller, pretty much. Yeah. So.
You still use your Wiimotes. Yeah, you still use all that stuff. Yeah.
I'm not gonna diss that because it's not out yet, and I'm actually semi interested, but not 100% sold. And I'm definitely not getting it launched because we've seen what Nintendo does with that. So
I'm totally done with Nintendo.
Fuck that. Yeah,
I told you. Like I sold my Wii at E3 2008. But no way.
All right, let's do another email.
All right, Sean Recupito. Staying consistent says the appeal of consoles has always been that you buy the console and you would have everything you need to play all the games that come out for the entire lifespan of the console. I like that idea of hardware patching, as you so call it, but If it's only optional and developers realize it. Take, for example, the Move and Kinect. They came out, and even though I don't own either one of them, they don't stop me from playing games on the console. Now, as far as the 3DS getting an extra analog stick, I don't really give a shit since I don't have one or plan on getting one. So, yeah,
smart.
As long as it's as inoffensive as the Move and Kinect, I really don't care. But that's about all I have to say on that subject.
Was this prior to the whole announcement of requirements and all that?
I believe so, yes.
Whether it was or not, though, the thing with Kinect is they have their own set of games. Like, it even says it on the box. This is a Kinect-only game. Like, they'll have stuff on there, hey, this works with Kinect, too. But these right here, if you don't want to play these games, don't worry about the peripheral. Play the normal games. And I'm okay with that. You know,
and I'll say this about Move a lot. I mean, there's not a ton of Move only games. A lot of them have optional Move support.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and they use Move as not only a new game mechanic, but like enhance or dehance, whatever you want to say, whether you like it or not. You know, it is an optional thing in most cases. And it's a home console. You don't have to carry this shit around with you. That's the thing. It's like, I don't mind that so much for some reason. I don't know. All right.
We can't go on any further about this, in my opinion.
Yeah, let's run through some of the rest of these emails.
All right, cool. It's got Hedges 1001 says, "Sup, dudes. I'm back for your question of the week."
All right.
"No, it's not all right to patch consoles. Case in point, the Wii. Think how much better games would be for the shiny dust magnet if the Motion Plus was built in from the start. Of course, there is, however, a difference between upgrading a console and improving it with new peripherals or models. It can be best explained, and it can be best explained as, does the change allow more in terms of functionality whilst not segmenting the user base? If yes, then it's an improvement like the PSP 2000 compared to the 1000. If not, then it's a patch to the console since it's a mandatory upgrade if you want to keep up with the games like the Wii Motion Plus or the 3DS Slide Pad. Hope that makes sense, dudes. This is Hedges 1001. Peace out." And I agree with them wholeheartedly because Sony specifically has done a really, really good job at improving the hardware, improving the console by firmware updates and patching that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, keep that up. I like that. And yeah, Nintendo has been doing some firmware updates. Nothing really significant, but they're adding things like, you know, they firmware in Netflix. You know, take that, you know, for what it is. You know, they firmware Video Store. You got the eShop that came in a little later and everything. So, I mean, they're still doing that. And they did a good job in rolling that out, even though it wasn't day and date with the launch. But, you know, it's just that they're doing some things good, but a lot wrong. And, like, I don't know. It seems like their days are numbered. It's like it really feels like the golden age of Nintendo is beginning to end.
It terrifies me looking at Nintendo. Like, I honestly get this Sega vibe from Nintendo, and I don't like it because I am a huge, huge Nintendo fan. Like, in my childhood, I was, like, thinking about renaming myself Mario. I love Nintendo so much. And so, like, looking at everything they're doing, I'm like, what the fuck are you guys thinking? Like, you're just killing yourself, and I don't get why. Like, I'm going to say casual and then get a huge, like, backlash from that statement.
No, you
won't. Okay. Well, anyways, the whole, like, appeal to the masses, the mainstream, but like the true gamer, like they've totally like just kicked them in the nuts, and I don't get why they're doing this. It makes no sense.
This goes back to something that I've said a couple times. You know, this is where Nintendo got to a really high point, and it's happened before. They got to a really, really high point, thought, hey, I could do whatever the fuck I want. And then they released something, and it bombed. It's basically what happened to Sony with the release of the PS3 when they said, hey, we can release it for $600, and people are going to get a second job. Fuck you and your second job. So Nintendo with the Super NES, they were on this high point. Like, they could not be beat. Then they released the N64. They said a lot of bad shit about, you know, people about companies that they shouldn't have because they weren't supporting cartridges, and the N64 failed. Then the GameCube came out, and that failed too. And then they finally bring out the Wii, and as you said, appeal to the masses. They get to that high point again, and the cycle repeats. So, you know, I'm really afraid. Well, it's obvious to see that you know, the 3DS is a complete, like, afterthought with some of the shit that they're doing.
Well, I don't.
And
even
I'm afraid
think, like,
that the Wii U is going to be the same thing.
I'm gonna tell you what, right, real quick. I mean, Nintendo in that span of the N64 and the GameCube, they would have been in some serious financial straits if they were not making good decisions on the portable front at that time.
That is a good point.
They were making fantastic points and making good money on the portable front while they were making those mistakes right there, okay?
That is true.
You know, and that's why Sony was in dire straits, because they were not making good choices with the PSP while, you know, the PlayStation 3 was not selling very well. Yeah. And it makes me concerned for Nintendo, as much as they're pissing me off. I don't want to see them in any trouble. I want to see them thrive and make better decisions and go on and make us a great console. I want to see that, you know? But I'll be honest with you, man, like, they're not making good decisions with the 3DS right now. The DS can only make them any more money.
Nick, what were you going to say?
I don't know. I completely lost my thought.
I know that you were trying to get something out, but...
Yeah, I mean, if I could go back and look, but no. I just don't... I'm done.
That being said, what my point was, I don't think the 3 I don't think the 3DS is
going to sell. Travis, pause.
Go ahead.
The N64, I can't see them being so bad, but the GameCube, yes. I mean, the N64, they definitely were still in the game on that one.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so much coming from the N64 era that there's no way to deny that Nintendo was still in its gold age. But freaking GameCube, yes. Like,
well, here's what I'm going to say about that. When you look at the way that generation played out, all right, the Saturn came out first. It was a high price tag. It was $400 at the time it came out.
Wait, but then we had the Dreamcast after the Saturn.
Yes, but that was also after the N64. That was the Dreamcast was the entry that was the first console of the PS2 era. So the Saturn came out. It was expensive. They and Sega made a bad decision there too, because the introduction of a 3D chip was an afterthought. Because that was just then getting big. So that comes out, $400. PlayStation comes out, it's $300. Nintendo brings the N64 out with a cartridge for $200. And they lost a lot of support for that. So yes, from what you're saying, the N64 did well enough. But when you compare it to how well the PlayStation did, I mean, the first PlayStation sold well over 100 million consoles. N64 didn't come close.
That's true.
I don't even think they broke 50.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers here. The super worldwide, the Super Nintendo sold 49.6 million units.
The
N64 only did barely 30 million units.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's 20 million units less. Your predecessor is not supposed to destroy your next console. It's just not supposed to.
Okay.
You're supposed to build. Yeah.
The
and,
N64
and
was very, very well. I won't say it's very niche, but the thing about the N64 is the N64 has this collection of games that everybody loves, and the majority of everything else was crap.
Yeah. Okay. Because I was like, I just can't bring myself to deny that N64 did not have its strength points, because, you know, Ocarina of Time is probably the overbearing, like, most influential third person action game ever.
Okay, that being said, you're right. But I was just about to make the point. I'm glad you said it before me. If Ocarina of Time never existed, the Nintendo 64 would have been a complete and utter failure.
Okay.
Oh, I wouldn't. I was about to say, there's Super Mario 64.
And what else?
Mario Party.
I mean, there was Smash Brothers, Mario
Blast
Kart, Turok.
Nah,
I mean,
those games were god awful.
The N64 had an advantage of graphics over the PlayStation, so that's what kept them in the game. When we got to the GameCube, that advantage was much smaller. So
yeah.
and the game support still wasn't there because Nintendo pissed everybody off with the N64. It wasn't until the Wii came out and there was this, like, huge, you know, emergence of people that were all of a sudden interested in gaming that they got a lot of their third-party support back. So the Wii U is, like, back to the hardcore. It's going to be – I think Wii U is make or break for Nintendo.
I still love that Nintendo continuously, like, desires to like exemplify the idea that they're an e-game, you know, like an everyone game kind of system. But there's so many games that totally prove them wrong. And I don't get that. Like, I've never understood that concept, but maybe that's for another time.
Yeah. give us another email. We got two left.
Two left. All right. Well, coming up next is Michael Ormond. I like that name. What? I don't know. Anyway. Hey, guys. It's Zankthin Gun here looking for the question of the week. Is it okay to patch hardware? I haven't yet picked up a 3DS, but when I heard about the extra analog nub attachment, I immediately ran down to my local game to get me two of those bad boys. Winky face. In all seriousness, I have no problem with companies updating their hardware so long as the core functionality remains the same and it doesn't segregate me from the user base. Peripherals, which change up the core mechanics such as standard controls, really, really annoy me. And it means that certain experiences on a console are then unavailable to me out of the box. And games which need the new control scheme means I have to buy new hardware. On the other side of that, when companies like Sony and Microsoft, etc., change their console models to the Slim, for instance, it doesn't affect what I can play. And I don't have to upgrade if I don't want to. I've never bought a Slim PlayStation. I've had the launch models for the last three of those generations, and I only bought a Slim 360 because my launch model red-ringed. It's probably the reason Microsoft have never upgraded the drive on the 360 to Blu-ray or HD DVD when it was around, despite calls from a lot of people to do so. They knew a lot of people wouldn't then be able to experience everything the console would offer and probably wouldn't want to buy an expensive upgrade to their nearly new system. Anyway, guys, that's my two cents on the matter. Keep up the good work, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Well, I can tell you why there's no Blu-ray drive for the 360. It's because Sony has a hand in it. There was that HD DVD add-on, and yeah. That failed miserably.
But so. Good on them for making it
an add-on and not in the system.
Yeah, exactly. It was not necessary. And I mean, and you know, congrats to the brass balls on Sony to actually implement that shit on their system. And I mean, that was a big sticking point for Blu-ray, you know, and it makes you wonder, you know, if HD DVD was mandatory on that drive, because there's a shit ton of Xbox 360s and a shit ton of living rooms, and it makes you wonder that if they made the same choice with HD DVD, would it? Because there's a lot of people with just an Xbox in their house. They would probably be a more of a chance of that HD DVD drive if they made it mandatory, you know,
right out
of the box. It would have been probably just the saving grace for it, but alas, it was optional.
The one thing that HD DVD really had going for it was the fact that pressers didn't have to buy new equipment.
Yes.
They could have stayed with the same equipment.
Yeah.
With Blu-ray, they needed new equipment. If the 360 would have implemented an HD DVD drive from the start, chances are whether or not you think Blu-ray would have won, it would have been a much different fight.
It would have been a tighter race, yeah.
The 360 had like a year before that actually that whole fight occurred, so...
And,
like,
and that's
the only
thing.
Reason
like,
why it didn't happen. It was just timing.
And that's the thing. I think that the 360 came out too early.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. I think.
But the funny thing is at that year advantage, it benefited the 360 significantly more.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Cool. Right. One last email. Go for
Final
it.
Final email. Friend of the show, Mike Piacena, weighed up in this bitch. He says, okay, now that we've all grown to love hating our games patched almost once or more times every week, you ask us, is it okay with the same hardware? That is a tough one to answer due to the fact that when you launch a new gaming console, PC, or even mobile device, you're saying it is all good day one. I say bullshit to that. I've seen too many people... easily able to hack the hardware faster than games. I mean, why do we worry about malicious types of viruses on our new computers? I've seen it happen on my one PC, and then I found out the motherboard is shot. How about people attacking your gaming system with malicious email that can do damage or even break your system? Okay, so we've all grown to understand why we see these updates on our hardware devices now these days. It seems it is to keep them running. Yes, I have to say for now, yes, I'm okay with the updates on my hardware. I'm upset that some products launch a firmware or hardware update day one launch of their product. That is like biting the bullet and taking your own trust out of the device or hardware you're selling to the consumer. Remember, now we live in a world where technology is growing rapidly and people are learning ways to attack your device faster than a blink of your eyes. Yes, patches and updates are necessary these days, and we will all have to deal with it if we want our hardware to survive. I will say internet devices like newer HD TVs and Blu-ray players are only a blink away being attacked next, since they are open to the internet. Everything we use with the internet can be attacked, so be ready for someday to patch your HD TV or Blu-ray player someday. This is my opinion on the matter, and nothing else matters to me than keeping my PS3, PCs, and so on safe. Love, Mike, PSN08. Indus for life, guys. I can't wait to watch the live feed on Indus Fest before you two need to patch that.
Nice. He's definitely talking about the PS3 on that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's obvious that a few of our emailers took my question of the week a little too literal. But no, I mean, firmware updates, while it wasn't necessarily what we were talking about, technically is patching hardware. But this is one I am completely fine with because it doesn't affect anything as far as the way you play a game.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you go out, you update.
I mean, shit, you don't even have to buy anything.
Exactly. The only thing it affects is all right, I want to play my game right now. I'm going to play online. Oh, I need to update my firmware. Fuck! Now I have to wait like an hour while this shit downloads and installs before I can play my game. So, yeah, I can. So that's an issue. But, I mean, besides that, I mean, it's like, update the firmware all day long, man. I love the new features that they're adding to the
PS3
and the 360 all the fucking time.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Terrific. I'm actually going to out Mike PSN08. I actually think he's just pissed that he can't. His plans to sue Sony are negated. It's done. You can't sue him anymore, guys. Don't worry. That wouldn't hurt Torgo either way. So, like, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
I think that the gist of everything that we're talking about right now is, if you're going to like require a hardware update, you should have had it from the get-go. I think that's the biggest issue.
How about this? Don't fuck with my money.
That's exactly it, though.
I paid money for this, dude. Don't fuck with me.
But I mean, like, with anything like the DualShock controller with a PlayStation 1, like, that was innovative, and nobody gave a shit for throwing out a couple dollars for that. But, I mean, like, when it's been the standard since 2008? I mean, 98? Sorry, whoa. 98?
Yeah, way back. Longer than that.
Since 98. Like, it should be consistent throughout. Like,
right.
I just don't see why it would be acceptable to do otherwise.
It's not. Now I'm at the point now, being an early adopter, you know, of the 3DS. I know things are going to be like, you know, mandatory for the twin sticks. And now I'm even going to pull a phrase out of Jeff's book. Now I'm wondering, in terms of the 3DS, is the juice worth the squeeze now? Because I just don't even know whether or not that I even want my 3DS anymore.
Yeah,
well, exactly.
I really
don't.
I don't know.
Like, reamed in the face with the price drop on the 3DS. Like, how long had it been out? Not even a year? And they freaking price dropped that shit?
Four months.
That's a slap in the face. And not only that, not only that, they're adding more to it.
And that's the thing. It's like all this shit is afterthought, you know? It's like, hey, let's put this out. We're going to rush the system out. We're going to price it so we make a profit. Because that's what Nintendo does. They price shit so they make a profit right away. And now, you know,
I feel that's intentional. I can't help it.
Absolutely. It's crazy. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's necessarily intentional, but it's Nintendo being too big for the britches. Let's put it
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it is intentional, but they're like, you know what, guys, we could have used twin sticks. Our competitor's about to come out and they have twin sticks. We kind of need that. It would be helpful. But you know what? We're going to do a peripheral and we're going to make another version of it in the future, and they're going to buy it because we're Nintendo.
And that's part of it.
I guarantee
that's part of it. They saw the Vita. They saw some obvious competition. They were scared and they fucked it. They started fucking with shit. And that's what happened. That's part of what happened.
And they're just lucky as shit that freaking first party developers are willing to go along with it.
No, they're lucky as shit that they're getting Monster Hunter. Let's be honest.
Resident Evil is requiring it?
Yeah, Resident Evil is requiring it. But
that's first party.
Let me tell you this. Resident Evil is third party. It's Capcom.
Oh.
Let me tell you this. Monster Hunter is going to save that system.
Oh, yeah.
I can guarantee
you that. In Japan. In Japan, for sure.
Especially in Japan. But, yeah. Monster Hunter is well, yeah, you're right. In Japan, it's going to save that system. Because Monster Hunter is more niche here. But, you know, here, they're going to have to work. They're going to have to work.
Yeah.
Because you know what happened? You know how the 3DS is about to get to the point where Xbox is in Japan. That's what's going to happen. Nobody's going to fucking care.
I honestly feel like we need to say where hardware updates succeed in this situation, though.
If it's optional. If it's optional and it enhances things, like I think that, as you said, the PS1 dual analog controller.
Or the Rumble good. Pack. The Rumble Pack was a huge hardware patch.
Yeah, well, but it was still optional. And it didn't actually change the way you control
your game,
things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't really... Yeah. I mean,
Three years after the Rumble Pack was introduced, you didn't have to have that Rumble Pack.
Yeah.
Like, it was just... No game made you have it.
Have you tried to go back and play a game that requires Rumble Pack and you were playing it on Rumble Pack and are playing it without it now?
No, because it was optional and I opted out of it.
Yeah, I don't think I ever used the Rumble Pack. I think it came with Star Fox, right?
Yeah, Star Fox 64. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I played it with Star... I used it with Star Fox and I played Star Fox once and I played it all the way through and I was done with it. So
really?
I think that was... Yeah, I think that was the only time I ever used the Rumble Pack.
Well, what's funny is like now like I try to go back and play games without Rumble Pack that had it and I just can't do it. And maybe that's just my generation, but I just...
I'll be honest with you. There are a lot of times where I don't even realize that my controller is shaking. No. I've gotten so accustomed to it that it doesn't even register anymore.
You're just a bunch of old guys.
Get off my lawn!
Yeah, there it is.
All right, I think we've wrapped it up. I think we've said what we needed to say.
Word.
So let's get moving. Let's do some new releases real quick. Not a lot. We do not have a voicemail from Repeat. He's kind of on hiatus. He emailed me about it and things are fine, but, you know, he's just a very busy guy. So for PS3, we've got, some DLC coming for Fallout New Vegas and Call of Duty Black Ops. F1 2011 is coming out, Supremacy MMA, and on the PSN network, we are getting Burnout Crash and Cubix HD. Burnout Crash is very interesting to me.
Looks kind of cool. Yeah, it looks kind of cool.
Can you explain why it's interesting? Because Burnout's all about crashing.
Well, it's also a top-down version of the game.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's a completely different way of looking at things, literally. Yeah. 360, Gears of War 3, Resident Evil 4 HD, the Fallout New Vegas DLC, F1 2011, Supremacy MMA, and Burnout Crash. Wii is getting nothing interesting. 3DS is getting Frogger 3D, Pinball Hall of Fame, the Williams Collection, and Brunswick Pro Bowling. Fantastic. And PSP is actually getting Persona 2, Innocent Sin. It's the Persona 2 remake. So pick of the week. I don't think it's really... I think it's a
obvious, right? It's pretty obvious, yeah.
Pretty
I gotta
sure.
go with that
yeah.
Gears, man.
Totally gotta go with Burnout Crash. I mean,
yeah,
no.
That was a great one.
No, I would say Gears 2.
Yeah.
As well. Gears as well, not Gears 2.
You gotta hit that backlog, man. You gotta finish
you know
Gears
what?
2.
Hell, my Gears 2 is still fucking wrapped.
Considering that I'm on here right now, I'm a little offended. So I'm gonna look up some PC
games. Go for it,
releases.
Dude. Do
we
it.
Got Hard Reset coming out, which is like, you know, Wannabe Doom. We got Red Orchestra 2, Heroes of Stalingrad. And...
Hey, that's local. And that actually you're looking at the week that we're in right now.
Week. Excuse me. We got this. We can delete this.
Let's see.
Yeah, there's nothing. Worms Ultimate Mayhem.
Yeah, there's nothing on PC next week.
Real Works 3. You know, actually that's gonna be a freaking big new release for some people. But okay.
Train Simulator 2012. Yeah. All
right. You know what's funny is that game has like $1,000 worth of like DLC on it that people who are fans of the series will actually buy it.
Hey, there you go.
It's a big deal. But anyways.
Yeah, Gears 3.
Gears
pick
3.
of the week. All right. We got outside of Question of the Week emails. We got one other email, but it was for the question of the week for last week. So Yeah, we don't have anything to throw out there. You guys got to start sending some more emails. What's going on? Last few weeks, we haven't had any regular emails to talk about. Get on it. All right, so question of the week this week. With games coming out like God of War Origins Collection and ICO and HD Collection, these high-definition collections, are they worth the $40 that we're paying for? Are these good buys for us? To answer the question of the week, send us an email. That address is email at interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's slightly, but it's not.
Send us other emails, too, besides question of the week, guys. Come on. We want to hear from you. We'll probably do some Indus questions next week, too. We'll see.
We just love hearing you guys talk.
Yeah. That's right. It doesn't even have to be about video games. You want advice? Well, we're pretty seasoned, guys.
People are going to ask us for advice.
We're the Nintendo Hot Tip Hotline. Come on. I'll help you out.
Nice. All right. You can follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. Individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff. Nathan, what is your Twitter?
Oh, my God. Zangief TBW.
All right. You can also check us check us out on Facebook. That is an Interactive Distractions podcast. Drop by Retroids and join Retroids and check out our forums. That is where the Retroids podcast network is housed. And there are lots and lots of great podcasts on that network, so go check them out. And that is all I have. You guys have anything before we wrap up and get out of here?
Yeah, definitely support that podcast network. If you like us, you guys might like the PS Nation. I don't know. We're a good gateway for that podcast. You might like them. Maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't have much more to say.
That was a very unsubtle jab. Thanks.
I'm just trying to help out the same team, same dream, Chris. That's what I'm saying, man.
Keep in mind that Indus Fest is only a few weeks away, and shortly after it, the week after, I will say, is Extra Life. There is a ton of stuff going on for Extra Life at Retroids in general. So I would go over to Retroids and check out some of that. All the podcasts are doing something different. I know that PS Nation and Gamers Only Older are getting together to do Retroids North again. So that was very successful last year, and hopefully it will be just as successful this year. I am still not sure of all the details that we're going to be doing, but I will let you guys know very soon because we're going to work some of those out this week.
Right, right.
So that is it. So until
also, I mean, I know Jack. I gave Jack a little love because I mean, I wouldn't say this if Jack wasn't pushing for it and everything. But if you follow Jack Bauer on Twitter, he is doing some support for us for the podcast awards. You know,
oh, right.
I mean, if you like the show, give us a little shout out on there. You know, it's like put the nomination in. We may get nominated again because we did. It was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago,
2008.
Got nominated.
I think it was.
And everything.
We got nominated for a podcast award. Yeah. So
yeah. So let's
best,
get
we
it
got
up there,
we got nominated yeah. for best gaming podcast back in 2008. And in reality, you know, just check out the Retroids Podcast Network. And if you like one of the shows on there, vote for one of them. You know,
yeah.
that's what it's about. I am more interested in seeing a Retroids podcast up there. I could care less if it's us or Game Crashers or PS Nation or Exploded Deed. I don't care. I want to see a Retroids podcast up there. So get it done.
Do it.
Nate, thank you for joining us, dude. I know it was kind of last minute. Guys, I seriously contacted Nate 20 minutes before we started the show. It's like, hey, Jeff bailed. Can you join us? And he's like, yeah. So, yeah, and also look on the website for content from him. I think his most recent review was
Witcher 2.
Witcher 2, and Dead Island is coming. So keep that in mind as well. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Nathan.
Well done. Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Cheerio!